that previously had a very strong sense of internationalism, but it may have decreased since the ANC came into power. But Palestinian solidarity is allowing members of the ANC, but also South Africans more generally, to deal with that internationalism.
That's the voice of Mohammed Desai from BDS South Africa in Johannesburg. Can you talk about the growth of the BDS movement specifically in South Africa and talk about maybe some of the current campaigns that BDS South Africa as an organization has taken on and the successes that you've enjoyed so far?
Well, embarrassingly so, we actually learning from the international community. There was a lot of rhetoric from South Africa in the past about solidarity with the Palestinian people and about championing the boycott, but we're really taking our lead from people that have already set the ground overseas. So there are a few strategic campaigns that we have. So, for example, the campaign against Ahaba, which is an international campaign, the campaign against SodaStream, which again is an international campaign. And the reason why I raise this is because we also gain a lot of strength knowing that there are people in other countries that are involved in a similar campaign activity. But other than the strategic campaigns in which we are trying to achieve a victory in the shortest amount of time, there are also larger, broader campaigns, more long-term campaigns that we are running. Because really, Nora, this boycott, divestment, and sanctions, but also Palestine's solidarity, must live beyond those few individuals. It must live beyond the main organizers. And the only way that we're going to make sure that it lives beyond the one or two people is to create a mass movement, that will keep Palestine solidarity safe in this country, beyond just the spokespeople or the chief coordinators, etc. So those are the two sorts of campaigns that we are engaged in. But also something new that has come up in South Africa, and that is a group of progressive Jewish people that have come out public in support of the Palestinian struggle, but also specifically in support of the boycott, divestment, and sanctions campaign. And why it's unique for South Africa is because the Jewish community in South Africa, for the most part, is very supportive of Israel. And so for this small group of Jewish people to break out of that, it is actually creating a lot of good shockwaves in the country, where the Israeli lobby cannot continuously frame this issue as a religious issue. They can't continuously frame this issue as one that is attacking Jewish people.
Mohammed, talk about how people can get more information about the work that BDS South Africa is doing and how they can get in touch.
We are urging people to join us on Facebook and on Twitter. Both on Facebook and at Twitter, we're using the handle BDS South Africa. And also we're asking people to visit us on our website, which is www.bdssouthafrica.com.
Okay, Mohammed Desai of BDS South Africa. Again, that's bdssouthafrica.com. Mohammed, thank you so much for all you do and for being with us today on the Electronic Intifada podcast.
Thanks so much, Nora.
And that's it for our weekly Electronic Intifada podcast. For news, information, cultural features and reviews, pointed opinion and analysis, and action alerts by our team of correspondents and bloggers, visit us online at electronicintifada.net. This week, be sure to check out Philip Bato's op-ed on Israel's responsibility for violent attacks by settler extremists, plus our new book, film and performance reviews, featured videos including a new track by Palestinian hip-hop group Dem that targets violence against women. Lena El-Safin asks, did Abbas abuse his powers in restricting elections to the West Bank? Also, our exquisitely curated Month in Pictures feature and much more. At electronicintifada.net, you can also post comments and sign up for our daily newsletter. Follow us on Twitter at Intifada. Radio stations are free to use this podcast, and a special thanks to Flashpoints and KPFA in Berkeley. On behalf of all of us at the Electronic Intifada, thank you for listening.
And coming up next on Free Radio Santa Cruz, it's, of course, your old favorite show, Bathrobes, Piers, Broadsides. I'll be with you, of course, for 2 hours from 6 to 8. I'm Robert Norse, and you are tuned to 101.3 FM, or perhaps one of our streams, which you can get to by going to the HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom website, huffsantacruz.org, and then looking for the name of the show, which is Bathrobes, Piers, Broadsides. I have a special guest who's sent to me from right-wing radio, KSCO. That's William Paul Adamski, or is it Adansky? What's the deal on that?
Depends who you talk to.
Indeed. Well, I'm talking to you. So yeah, what do you
Adamski.
Say? Adamski. Well, Adamski. That's Adamski.
Yeah, right.
So, but I understand you want to be called Bill.
That's what people call me.
That's what I'll call you. Bill, if you want. And Bill is, according to his, I haven't checked his credentials, but he claims to be a PhD of humanistic clinical ontology and psychology. Ontology and psychology, is that correct?
Correct.
We have a caller, my goodness, an early caller. Hey there, early caller, what's cooking?
Hey, this is Crow and Red. How you doing, partner?
Hey, Crow. Hey, Red.
Want to say hi to Robert?
I say I'm okay.
Hi,
how are you guys?
How you doing?
Hey, Red, what's cooking? Are you still, you're still walking the earth, huh?
Yeah. I've been walking and skipping.
Walking until you keel over. Red, go ahead. So what's the report? Any just calling in to say hi, or have you got something specific you want to talk to us about, or something you know has come up in the last few weeks?
Coming up to say hi, but we're going really class.
I got more stuff.
Yeah, class about soon this corporation that because of our public storage that got ripped off, and they had it in the construction.
A little bit hard, Red, it's a little hard to hear you. Run that by me again, slowly.
Yeah. Okay, here the protest. My voice is a little hoarse, okay?
Yeah, no, I know.
Okay, here.
Go ahead.
Hey, Robert. I was basically calling to tell you that we've been getting harassed a lot lately in Watsonville now.
Tell me about
camping.
That. You guys live in a vehicle, correct?
Yes.
And
they've been pretty cool for a long time, but... you know, now they're fucking kind of hitting us hard now.
And how does that, and in what way?
Well, they've been coming by and saying there's no camping, and then we have to move to, we basically parking lot surfing, you would call it. You know, going to private property at night to sleep, pretty much. Where, you know, these, like, certain stores have, you know, their parking lot, they don't complain. There's some that do tell us not to park there overnight.
And is this kind of a favored approach in Watsonville for people in their vehicles?
Well, you know, other people have been harassed, but we're getting targeted, I really feel now, you know.
And you say that because, what, the same cops are showing up? What's the reason you think you're being targeted?
Yeah, some of the same cops are showing up, and, you know, it's they, you know, pretty much gotten my name and number now, you know. Because the first time a cop ever came by, he went, told me to sit on the bumper and took my picture, you know. Then I gave him a smile, and, you know, he left. He just told me I couldn't camp there.
And when was that?
That was about a month and a half ago.
And since then, how many times have you been raided?
About three times so far now in different time periods. So the latest one was 2 days ago.
And what do they tell you, or have you got a ticket? What's the deal?
Well, no, they didn't give me a ticket. But the last time the cop talked to me, it was probably like about 9 o'clock in the morning, and I was working on my van, and he came by, and he said, "Look, I've been pretty nice to you. You know, I've been telling you not to camp here. I've been seeing you for the past couple of days parked here, and I don't want to see you. I don't know what to do now. You know, I'm, you know," and he was threatening me to obviously write a ticket for camping.
Did you suggest that possibly his driveway might be a good place since he wants to...
Yeah, well, I didn't want to lip off to him.
Right.
Because it was compost. Compost, I guess, moved to Watsonville, and there's a cop over there now.
Say that again?
Compost. You know, Officer Compost.
Is there actually... that's his name?
He used to work here. In Santa Cruz?
Like compost as in compost?
Yeah, compost. Not compost, but compost.
How do you spell it?
C-O-M-P-O-S-E.
Okay, so this is a Watsonville police officer who...
he used to work in Santa Cruz, you know.
Didn't know that, but he previously had told you before he didn't want you camping in this parking lot because he'd received complaints or because
it wasn't a parking lot. It was on the street right outside of the Watsonville Hospital.
And is there some reason that he didn't want you on the street other than his aesthetic sense of how inappropriate your van looked?
No, the van's fine. It's just that he just keeps on repeating the same thing. It's illegal to camp in Santa Cruz.
Look, he was in Watsonville. Let's get this straight here, old man.
I know, but that's Santa Cruz County. You got to understand that, what I'm trying to say to you.
So he's trying to use there's no county camping ordinance. There's a Watsonville camping ordinance, I believe, though.
Okay, well, maybe I was wrong. Maybe you did say there's a...
There is a county camping ordinance, but it does not refer to any place in Watsonville and very few places in Santa Cruz, for that matter. It's a sort of series of zones.
The sheriffs and highway patrol, no matter who you run into, are telling you the same thing.
So,
there is no camping in Santa Cruz. And I'm saying maybe they're meaning Santa Cruz County.
Uh-huh.
So that's what they're telling me.
So what's your next move? Or do you want to just not telegraph it to the world here?
Oh, fucking just still do what I do, what I've been doing for years and fucking years. You know, just keep fucking running back and forth. You know, move it, you know, kind of bullshit like that. It is like a fucking cartoon, you know what I mean? I mean, what the fuck do they expect us to do? You know, Red's got cancer, you know, and we can't afford a fucking place, you know? Fucking barely afford gas just to keep it, move it, you know what I mean? They run us, you're ragged, okay? They put stress on you and it pisses you off.
Oh, yeah, you know? big time. You know, in the studio with me, I've got Bill, who... Actually, Bill, you were talking before about getting a vehicle yourself and, you know, trying to do what Crow and Red are doing, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, we can't live outside, you know? It's impossible.
That way 12 years ago. My wife and I had a couple RVs, and we tooled around California, and it was a good way of living.
Yeah.
I'm wanting to do it again as soon as I find my wife.
But it's not in Watsonville.
But to give up a fucking vehicle and fucking live in the bushes, they're fucking insane. What do they fuck want us to do? You know what I mean?
Did Officer Campos offer you, or Campos offer you, an alternate place to go, a shelter?
Yeah, tell us to go fucking camping at the campgrounds.
At the campgrounds. And what was your reaction?
$35 a night that we can't afford.
How much?
$35 a night.
Is that how much it is?
Pinto Lake, yeah.
What do you say about that, Bill?
It sucks.
Yeah,
fuck them. I ain't paying a goddamn dime.
They told me they'd arrest me if they caught me camping over there.
You know? I haven't put up with that bullshit fucking since day one.
They were nice about it, but...
Well, I was trying to be nice. They were not nice. You know, I told them the situation that my girlfriend's got cancer. She goes to the hospital quite often.
Well, somebody should declare open season on free camping.
What do you mean, Bill?
Keep railing on in a camping shit. You know what I mean?
Camping zones should be established. Oh, safe, easy to find.
For sure. No question. We proposed this.
Well maintained.
Yeah, it was proposed by the Homeless Issues Task Force 13 years ago.
Yeah. It's proposed, well, I never really wanted to camp with the other bunch of homeless people that, you know, I fucking don't care for sometimes. You know what I mean?
Right. Well,
I mean, I just would like to fucking, you know, go to a place on the streets, which is my town. I pay taxes every time I go to the fucking gas pump. Every time I buy something in the goddamn store.
And there should be places for RVs to hook up, set up.
Or no, I don't even want to hook up. I'm self-contained.
All right.
Fuck everything, you know? And I just want to...
I want to get off the street.
Someplace where I can leave later on and not cause a scene, not cause a mess, you know, not, you know, call up my home. Just some place to park on the street and without being harassed.
It's about all
I
need, too.
You know, and I would like to pick and choose places where I could park on a public fucking street. You know, have some people tell me where to fucking go.
You know what I mean?
This is supposed to be our town, you know?
Well, the cops should back off.
They fucking treat you like you're a foreigner from fucking another planet. You know, fuck them. This is my country. This is my world. And they fucking leave people fucking alone when they're not causing a problem.
I hear you, Crow.
Yeah, we have the best cops, though. That's
the fucking last point. If there's people calling and causing a problem, get them the fuck out.
So,
you know, there's people fucking destroying the fucking, you know, the bushes, the trees, and blah, 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 polluting, fucking run them out. I agree with that. But if, you know, people are just fucking not doing
there
anything,
there should be more housing,
and not bothering anybody.
You're talking over each other.
Leave them the fuck alone.
Okay,
you know
so Crow, thank you. I'm gonna close you down. Is there anything else you want to add?
I can't get you on the radio, so I just called in and just threw that at you.
No, that's fine. That's okay.
Yeah.
All right.
We
well, listen. You have
take care.
Right? You have been heard.
All right,
man.
I'll
bye-bye.
Talk to you guys in a little bit.
All right.
Bye bye.
And well, so Bill, you were saying yourself, Crow is a passionate guy, and I was afraid perhaps you might not be heard over him. Although maybe your mic is louder than his.
I don't know.
I don't either. So I know, Bill, you came here because I got a call from Rosemary of KSCO earlier today. You were actually trying to get a show on commercial
radio,
AM radio, which is, and pay them money to get on the radio?
Yeah.
What do they charge over there at KSCO?
I think it's like $150 an hour.
Oh, boy. Well, here it's much cheaper, and you actually can get away with paying almost nothing if you do work around the studio and so forth and come to meetings. Although the problem we have, as regular listeners know, is we are really in trouble with respect to our rent and the studio. We can't afford the rent in this place we're in. We need to move to another place. So far, we have about a month and a half left, and then we disappear off the air until we can find the $500 a month. Actually, it's $300 a month that we can afford, and the current rent here is $500. We can't afford that. So here's a quick pitch for those who are listening and want to hear this show and others continue. Free Radio Santa Cruz needs a new studio, and this has to be, we're hoping for one near downtown, 24-hour access, a bathroom available, 150 square feet, utilities included if possible, no parking tax, secure, dry, and again, up to $300 a month is what looks like the budget can afford. If you know anything about this, if you have any ideas, you can certainly go to the website at freakradio.org, that's our website. You can't get the stream there, but you can definitely get our schedules. You can get messages to us. You can hear archives of some of the shows. This show is archived at the Huff website, Huff Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, at huffsantacruz.org. And that's also a place to go if you want to find out how to tune in to this on the Internet, because there's a link there you can find. I give you the link, but it's long, and, you know, who wants to bother with numbers and slashes and dashes on the air at this point? But, Bill, this is sort of a part of this reason I invited you was to give listeners an idea, because you may be applying for a radio show here at Free Radio, or who knows, maybe the gang up at KSCO may decide that they want you as their token, long-haired hippie guy.
Yeah, surprise, surprise.
I kind of doubt it, but, you know,
Hare
I never
Krishna
can tell.
Drop out.
Indeed, you are the leftover from the 70s guy, because it. You're a little bit. You missed the 60s, probably, but you're
tail end.
You know, you're in the 70s. So
dropped acid in 69. I've been smoked pot for the first time.
You're just a fucking hippie, man, or you were anyway. But hopefully, you learned better. You're entering corporate. You know, giving large donations to Obama so that he can win the election and everybody can be happy.
Well, I
with
definitely
all the bombing.
Cheered him on.
You did well.
Absolutely,
you're a silly boy. But in any case, what kind
you
of
saved Detroit?
What kind of a, yeah? Well, he.
And the workers.
He's murdering people all the while overseas quite regularly. He's destroying the safety net at home. He's doing things the Republicans could never do in this country because he's got the Democrats with him to kill Social Security and Medicare when he starts doing his grand compromises next month. Keep your eye on that guy. That's the danger with Obama. Not to mention shredding the Constitution, supporting the Patriot Act, multiplying surveillance by a huge amount, imprisoning whistleblowers at a rate Bush never did. And, of course, ignoring all the Bush war criminals, because, of course, he wants to continue the war crimes himself.
There's so many ways to look at it.
I don't know. That seems to me to be the facts. But, you know, your show is not going to really, it's not really about that so much issue. You have other issues you're concerned about on your show. What would your, if you had a show on Free Radio, what would you be doing?
In a phrase, it would be talking about how people can heal themselves, their relationships to people, places, and things, and the communities that they reside in.
And how would this, you would have people call in and say, oh, heal me, or would you say rather, you know, you would perhaps invite
a guest,
healers in who would
talk about their work.
You see, I tend to invite heels in rather than healers.
All right.
It's a little different. But, you know, so you...
I know some seals.
Seals? I don't know about it. I've never had a seal on the air.
I've got one in mind.
All I can say to that is, I don't know what to say. So you'd be inviting some healers on the air. And,
correct. People from the street.
People from the street who are healers, or people from the street
who
want
to be? From the street who are healers and who are seeking to be healed.
Uh-huh.
And who are... bringing that about by being willing to do both.
Now, would there be in-studio healings going on, perhaps?
Or is that getting a little thick? Sure, absolutely. Yeah. Why not?
Now, are you yourself a healer? Or?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And what kind of conditions have you healed? Or
usually course rooms or one-on-one sessions.
But
with people.
That's the procedure, but what kinds of things have you healed? What kinds of pathologies have you been able to, should we say,
sadness, depression,
mm-hmm.
People looking to get sober from alcohol and drugs,
mm-hmm.
A lot of day-to-day human ailments I address daily.
Mm-hmm.
With people.
Now, have you been are you a long-time Santa Cruzan, or are you just back in
12 years.
And you've been here for 12 years in the last 12 years?
Yeah, the last 12 years. I moved here with my wife in 2000.
And how old are you now?
62.
Uh-huh. And are you outdoors or indoors?
I live at the Paul Lee Loft.
At the Homeless Lack of Services Center, as I like to call it.
Well, it's...
You were saying you found the services quite commendable. It saved your
absolutely.
Life, you were saying.
Yeah.
And so there you are. That's so much for my snarky opinions.
The only problem is they don't have enough resources. They don't have enough.
I understand they have a lot of rules, and they kick people out who complain. That's what I've gotten on the air from some folks.
It's an easy place to live for the most part.
It's a, say again?
Easy place to live.
It is an easy place to live. I understand you have to be out of there by, 5 or 6 in the morning, and you can't stay there during the day.
No, we get up at 6. But you can get up earlier if you need to.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always a good breakfast. People are respectful.
Mm-hmm.
The rules are simple, sometimes hard to understand, but you'll get plenty of help to get on the right page.
Uh-huh. What kind of rules are we talking about?
Get up at 6.
Yeah, I heard that. And what other rules are we talking about? I mean, are there rules like, you know, no fucking upstairs? Are there rules like no pets?
Yeah.
Are there rules like don't have too much of your stuff with you? Are there rules like no marijuana, even if you have a marijuana card?
No, nothing like that.
Are allowed to have marijuana in the Paul Lee Loft? That would be new to me if that's true.
They don't bother me.
Okay. And I don't want to ask you if you medicate, because if you can't afford a card, you know, they may come, or if you can't afford a doctor's recommendation.
They don't seem to bother people
good for them if that's
issues that are so practical to a lot of people's well-being.
Because in the past, I know Craig Canada, a regular talk show host here, who actually has his own website and has been fighting the marijuana laws for decades, said that they wouldn't let him in because he was quite... He said, I medicate with marijuana. I have to do that. That's part of my...
How long ago was that?
2-3 years ago.
No kidding.
Yeah. But, you know, he was an outspoken fellow. It could be that it's the wink and nod thing, that if you don't mention it and you go off and do it quietly, it's okay. Share it with the local thugs. I mean, security people.
Yeah.
I don't want to say thugs. That would be wrong. You know, and I don't know.
I see those people as only going... being on their way up.
Who's on their way up?
The people who work there. And the people who live there.
Okay. So you don't see a lot of authoritarian treatment of people at that shelter?
Nothing heavy-handed.
Okay.
A lot of good humor, perhaps, in the instructions that are given.
Okay.
But they'll flex with the rules, too.
And...
It's like...
How long have you been there, by the way?
I've been there... on and off since, I guess, August,
and
July.
Have you been there continuously, or have you been out a month?
I've been out on the streets. I've been in a psychiatric hospital. I lived at Crisis House for about 2.5 weeks. Great place.
Crisis House is where?
That's at, I believe it's 3035 Prather Lane.
What is it?
It's a Crisis House.
It's a halfway house, or a...
No, it's a place for people with emotional problems who mm-hmm. are waiting to get into other facilities.
Interesting. Hadn't heard of it before.
No, it's run by a guy by the name of David McBride, who's a hero of mine.
And
the rest of the team over there.
That's in Santa Cruz.
Yeah, I guess it's Santa Cruz or Capitola.
Uh-huh.
Right near Sutter Maternity.
And has Crisis House or any of these other places availed themselves of your healing skills themselves?
Well, they let me live there.
Well, that's nice, but that's not really availing themselves of your healing skills.
Well, I'm a chaplain.
Yeah.
And as a minister, mm-hmm. a street minister, uh-huh. and a psychiatric practitioner mm-hmm. in my own right, people who would want to see me can invite me to come there.
And has that happened? You've been able to assist people in the Pauley Loft, for example, in your most recent stay?
I would say daily.
And an example of a problem you've dealt with that you feel you've been of assistance on would be like what?
Well, I know there's a couple folks who were having some real problems with one gal. We don't need to bring up her name. She needed to be placed in some kind of a nursing facility. I mean, she really needed it. And
what was her problem?
I believe speed addiction at one point, methamphetamine, alcohol addiction, but I think she's been fighting it, and she's been getting a lot better. But it's hard to stay away from the drink when you're on the street.
Uh-huh. And you yourself mentioned you've had that problem yourself, yeah?
Oh, yeah. And when I'm on the street and, you know, the temptation's put in front of me, like a lot of the good people I'm with, and these are people who helped me stay alive this past summer. We're in the same boat.
Mm-hmm.
And a drink sometimes in the middle of the night made the difference between total misery and making it through the night.
Uh-huh. It's sort of a form of self-medication, yeah?
Yeah, exactly. And for me, it's to die.
So this woman you helped, what kind of help did you provide? What was it?
I prayed for her.
Uh-huh.
I prayed for her today. I haven't seen her in a few
mm-hmm.
days.
Mm-hmm.
What else? We talk about God together. We talk about Lord Krishna together. We talk about Jesus together. We eat in the same dining room together. She blesses me. I bless her.
Massage therapy, perhaps?
Yeah, at one point we were on mm-hmm. the street together one night.
Acupuncture? Acupressure?
She's rubbed my back and I've rubbed hers.
Well, I hope you... sexual therapies of any kind?
That's not my forte.
That's not your thing? Not your forte?
That's not my forte.
So, we're talking...
But I do promote people having good sex lives.
Does that happen in the Pauley Loft?
No, they have us segregated in different ashrams.
We don't want these homeless people touching each other. That
well, we do, we make sure that can happen in the parking lot.
Oh, in the
with
parking.
Our clothes on.
I see. Okay.
We're well-dressed.
Well-dressed homeless.
Yeah.
So we're talking with Bill, a.k.a. William Paul Adamski. I'm going to give you about 5 minutes to demonstrate. I'm going to turn the show over to you so you could be the... You're the host. I'm the guest. What kind of questions would you be asking me? What kind of a format?
Have you been homeless?
Yeah, I've been homeless.
When were you homeless?
A long time ago. It was the 70s.
What happened to you?
Oh, it was just family crisis, emotional crisis, no money. It was, you know, a series of difficult circumstances up in the Bay Area.
How'd you get out of it?
At one point, I think I got some disability. At another point, I got some. Was able to get some money from my family eventually, and then I won some money in a lawsuit. So I was able to kind of maintain. Yeah, although a lot of energy went into it, I think, not just luck. I mean, I don't think I've got a drift.
The working
luck.
Poor.
Yeah, in a certain sense, although it certainly wasn't your standard job. I mean, it's
time and a half at least every day.
It was, yeah, you know, you walk
16,
there, you walk
18
there.
18 hour days.
You know, you stand in line here, you stand in line there.
And it's a good thing it's a beautiful town because you can get awfully lost very easy.
Well, of course, I wasn't homeless in Santa Cruz, so I was homeless up in the Bay Area.
That wouldn't be much better.
But that would be my answer to your question, Mr. Host.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And?
And what? Well, in other words, I'm...
And. Interesting.
What's your... What else can I tell you?
What do you see the future of the station being?
This station? Well, you know, as I said a moment ago, I'm really hopeful. Well, not really hopeful at all, but, you know, we often pull through this kind of stuff, but it does seem that we are at a low point. And for those who want the station to continue, you know, I pay attention to the commercial, the fundraising commercial. Get to the freakradio.org website, get in touch with us. And
what makes this board light up?
Kick down some money. What do you mean, what makes the board light up?
Just that, like somebody...
what makes the calls come in?
Right.
Who knows? I'm not a very proficient talk show host in that regard. I'm mostly... the number of calls I get per show is very limited, actually.
Okay. And have you had healers on before?
Probably, although my focus is on the criminalization of poor people. In fact, I'm about to start playing some tapes from the last 2 weeks of people who are really getting heavy harassment on the streets, like the caller you heard earlier, but more important or more in a more focused way in Santa Cruz, street performers are getting apparently regularly hassled by a team of officers, Warren and Clark. They're two of the, at least the names that keep coming up in the various accounts I'm getting. So,
well, I don't know them, but I do know people on the street who play music.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that the police department can take care of its own.
Meaning?
Their internal affairs should be on top of this kind of thing.
Are you kidding? I mean, I can't agree with you at all.
Well,
IA department.
I'm not kidding.
Well, I'm not either. Unless you have some special evidence that the SCPD IA actually deals with these abuses, I see them happening again and again from the same officers. And I know there have been complaints about this, certainly informal complaints. And it seems to me like this is a directive from the police department. You know?
Yeah, well, yeah, I've had my own complaints with the police. When I take a look at myself, my problems are of my own making.
Oh, well, you know, when I hear that, I tend to go into a tape myself. I got to watch out here because I take the point of view that though some problems obviously are of our own making, a lot of the problems come from the fact that we don't have housing, we don't have jobs, we don't have services that should be there.
And that should be handled with ease.
In what sense?
There's plenty of people to build. There's plenty of materials to build with. There's plenty of people to put in the places. It looks like there's plenty of places that are already empty.
But, of course, they aren't. That is the whole problem. And the problem is, in spite of the fact that these resources are there, they are closed, they are monopolized, they are shut off, just like areas all over the city tonight are curfewed off. Levees are curfewed off. Public buildings are curfewed off. Parks are curfewed off. And in the areas that are not curfewed off, like the downtown Pacific Avenue, you get harassment.
Well, if we occupy ourselves, we can occupy the city.
Uh-huh. Well, I know that is a standard 70s view. You know, let's work on ourselves first and forget about the social concerns.
Back to the future.
I don't know. It's back to the past, as far as I'm concerned. But
back to the past. All
well,
right.
I mean, it's back. It's a mythology that I think
a future worth having.
I think the ruling people who are ruling this situation like to push that kind of ideology. I'm not saying you do, but for that reason, I'm sure you have a different perspective because you certainly don't look like a ruling class guy to me. Though perhaps you're hiding.
UAW.
I don't know.
Three.
Sorry.
I'm an honorary lifetime member of UAW Local 3 in Hamtramck, Michigan.
Right, but I don't think you are, one of the 1%, let me put it that way.
No.
Or maybe in a certain sense you are a part of the 1%, but the different 1% than the 1% that is making more and more money at the expense of everybody else.
I'm with the 99.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I would assume so. So we've been talking, I'm going to reclaim the host function now, Bill, from you, because I want to play some tapes. And you're welcome to hang in the studio, make comments, give your thoughts. And, folks, if anybody has any questions for Bill, please do call in or comments on anything I've been saying.
Or stop by the Paulia Loft. I might make a sign that says free psychiatric help or
there
something.
There you go. Sort of the Lucy Peanut sign for the
dollar and a quarter.
But don't try to hang out at the Homeless Lack of Services Center during the day because that's not allowed, right? Even though it was created for homeless people, we don't want idlers and loiterers hanging around. You know, it might cause some problems. And don't hang around outside the Homeless Service Center either, because that might offend the Harvey West business people. We don't want that to happen, now, do we?
People seem very loving in that neighborhood.
Uh-huh. I've noticed different attitudes, but I imagine some of them are.
Things are shifting.
I would like to believe that, but I see people's camps being destroyed, people's property being confiscated. I see ticketing at a rate of 3 to 4 times last year. I can't agree with that.
That should stop.
Yes, but to describe it as things are getting better is a complete mischaracterization of what's going on, in my view. And so when I hear it, I start getting like a pit bull. And so you unfortunately are at the nether end of my...
Got it.
I've got to watch my step here, because you are my guest in the studio, and I want to thank you for coming in and encourage you to continue to talk. Let's just hear some interviews from the street. And again, talk to Bill, talk to me, 427-3772, if you'd like to join the conversation. You know, what's happening out there to you? What have you seen? What's your analysis or reaction to anything we've said? Again, 427-3772 is the call-in number here. Area code is 831. And it's up to you. Let's hear a few of the street interviews that I've done in the last few weeks.
So it's nearly 2 o'clock. We're downtown on Maple and Pacific on Sunday, November 11th, Veterans Day. And we have a conversation between police officers, a man on a bike, and a gentleman with a cane. The guy with the cane is African-American. The Officer Warren is advising the guy on the bike that he has to lock his bike to a bike lock. And he's pulling out his ticket book. Not quite clear if it's going to be a ticket or a warning.
Matthew, since this is the first time I've talked to you, I'm not going to give you a ticket.
And Officer Warren is advising the person on the bike that he won't be giving him a ticket because it's his first encounter with him. He's making a note simply that he spoke to Matthew with him as Officer Clark, who is taller than he is, and I'm leaning against the fire hydrant as we speak as cars drive by.
And for those who want to visualize, this is during the day, and it's at the it's sort of across from the Metro Transit Center, about a block up, and on the corner. I think it's the subway corner, for those who know the subway area, although it could be the next block up.
Flatcar 131 is a double parked across the street.
Yes, we'll be able to see it.
To give a warning to an individual with this teeny tiny bike. Looks an older guy with gray hair. Double parked in front of the Andes Auto Supplies, blocking one lane of traffic to give a bicycle warning.
And this is something I often point out, that squad cars, the police officers take extraordinary liberties with just parking their cars, not quite in the middle of traffic, but certainly in ways that obstruct traffic, that indicate, see, we're the police, we can sort of park here. You normal, ordinary citizens, if you tried doing what we're doing, you'd have your cars towed. But, and what's the emergency or the serious crime that requires this? Interrogating a guy on a bicycle about going through a stop sign, you know. And that kind of, I regard that as a form of arrogance in this situation by authority that I think gives the wrong lesson. Of course, the lesson they're trying to show is you must respect our authority, And we're going to show you we have this authority because we have this power is sort of how I feel about it. That's the reaction I get. And you'll hear me commenting sometimes very loudly around police officers, something to the effect of, here we have an officer double parked in the street. What is the emergency here or the reason this is happening? Your taxpayer dollars at work.
I would say the upside of it is
so go ahead.
The power is there, but they're not using undue force.
Well, the question to me is whether they are engaging in a form of privilege and power that they should not be doing, particularly if there's a parking space there. That really pisses me off. They can park in a parking space like any ordinary citizen. Then I'd like to see that happen instead of this notion that this...
It's always a two-edged sword. You know, power to the people, and you have to have somebody authorized with the power.
I don't think that these people who are engaging in this kind of contact, at least contacts I've seen recently, have anything to do with any real crime. It has to do with harassment of poor people downtown is what it has to do
that
with.
That should stop.
Well, that's nice to say that, but how do you stop it? My way of stopping it is embarrassing these cops and making it really public and loud what they're doing.
That's okay. That's freedom of speech.
Yeah, well, I think so, sure. But it is a way of essentially casting a negative light on some of the things the police department are doing, for sure. Of course, they're doing negative things, hence they should be, I think, properly regarded as negative, in a negative light. Continuing with this incident.
I'd be shouting about it, but I'm not, so... It's a sunny day. Weather is getting brisker. And it seems like this is an opportunistic stop. The guy has tattoos. He's older. Is this a cause for stopping, double parking a car, blocking one lane? I wouldn't think so. But they're obviously targeting certain people downtown, it seems to me. It has to do with a bike light and parking his bike next to on the wrong mechanism.
What I'm fumbling to say here, there are certain bike racks that you're allowed to chain your bike to. If you chain your bike to something else, apparently that's cause for being reprimanded by the police department. It turned out after this was over, the stop was originally stopping two men. One of them, this sort of a white guy with tattoos and this tiny little bike, kind of very strange how bikes seem to be shrinking, getting smaller and smaller in some respects. And this other fellow was an African-American guy. And I was listening to bits of the conversation between the police and these two guys. And the African-American guy pretty quickly left, and the police focused on this one guy with the tattoos and the bike, and you can't park your bike here. You can't. It turns out that he had gone through a stop sign. And I think they just gave him a warning, which is good, you know. But the amount of energy and time devoted to this with the squad car parked in the middle of essentially taking up most of a lane of traffic on the side street, I thought was arrogant, outrageous, unnecessary. And again, part of the sea, we're privileged. Be aware, we're powerful. You have some thoughts?
Maybe he couldn't find another place to park.
It could be, but I think there was another place there. But again, I didn't mention it on the tape, and it's possible that could have been the case. It seems like an awfully big deal. And the notion that the police are allowed, in fact, encouraged to make a big deal out of these little things, it becomes a basis for intimidating people on the streets. See, heavy police presence, be afraid, keep walking, nothing to see here.
You can keep a lid on things as well.
There's nothing to keep. That's the illusion, though, the illusion that there's something to keep a lid on. If you're talking about, what do you mean, though? I mean, is there some real problem?
Would you rather not have the police there?
In this situation, sure. There's no reason for them to be there for this situation, as far as I can see, you know. As far as I can see.
Make him disappear.
Good.
Leave that to you, Mr. Healy.
And Officer Clark warns two guys approaching who are smokers if there's no smoking on the street.
Yeah. I'm ready.
He also advises the officer, Officer Warren, I'm sorry, advises the guy on the bike that he can't ride his bike on the sidewalk. How you doing?
I mean, this whole idea, we see a lot of people riding their bikes on the sidewalk. We see a lot of people riding their bikes against traffic on this very slow-moving Pacific Avenue. We see people, locking their bikes to different...
Very few people riding on the sidewalk.
Let's put it this way. It's not happening every 5 minutes. But I see it happening... Every time I come downtown, I see it happening at least once or twice.
It's dangerous.
Depends on how many people are on the sidewalk and how careful the person riding a bike is.
Common sense is a good thing.
It's a good thing.
It's dangerous.
It depends on how many people are on the sidewalk and how fast the guy is riding. I'm sorry, that's what I think it is.
I've gone walking over the overpass between High Street and Holy Cross.
Uh-huh.
And people have come around on that thing on bikes and almost killed me.
Almost hit you, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not saying that there aren't cases where that's quite legitimate, but I'd like to see police going after that and not trying to systematically or even circumstantially go after individuals who are not particularly riding unsafely but who are technically violating a rule. I don't like that. And I also think it...
Old people have rights, too.
Particularly those on bikes. This is an old guy on a bike, yeah. I mean, I agree. Old pedestrians certainly should have rights. And young pedestrians, too.
Pedestrians have rights.
Oh, of course. But if a pedestrian is complaining about something, that's one thing. But the idea that the police they're going to be your guardians, I don't appoint them for that purpose. I don't find that a problem.
Well, we can do that for each other, hopefully.
Yeah. I mean, that's the whole point, I think.
Either that or move to Los Angeles.
That would help.
What did they stop you for?
Complete stop at a stop sign.
So you were stopped because you didn't come to a complete stop at a stop sign. How far did they follow you to nab you?
I didn't even know where the hell they came from that way, and I came from the opposite direction. So
which stop sign are they referring to?
It must have been that one right there, I guess.
Because
I was like, what the hell did they see me not stop somewhere? But anyway, it's no big deal to me.
So
my plate's clean, so I'm not worried. You know, it was just fucking...
So in theory, they had
emotions.
They had a so-called legitimate reason because you went through the stop sign. Were you a danger? Did any car have to brake to a squealing stop because of you? Did you hit a child?
No. There wasn't even anybody crossing the street, much less a car.
Well, you've got to learn to be more careful about it. And you had the wrong light, and you were hooking your bike up to... What is going on with you?
I'm filming right now. I'm waiting to see if they come around.
I think they stopped because the other guy that hangs out here...
Oh, yeah.
I talked to one time before. Nice guy, you know.
The African-American guy?
Yeah. I just stopped to chat with him for a second, and they rolled up, and they saw the both of us chatting, and I guess...
Pretty suspicious, if you ask me.
Yeah. They probably thought something was going down.
Have we been talking?
They haven't seen me around because I'm new here, and it's like, you know...
They're giving you a greeting.
Yeah.
Greetings. This is Santa Cruz.
Greetings. Here's your warning.
Take a sniff.
Yeah.
And we've been talking with?
Matthew.
Thanks, Matthew. Okay, well, it's about 3:30, and I'm here with
Jessica.
And Jessica, are you new in town? You've been around for a while.
No, I was born and raised here.
And are you inside or outside?
I'm inside. I have a boat in Moss Landing.
And any thoughts or feelings about how homeless folks are treated in Santa Cruz?
Besides the fact that I feel like they're putting too much energy into trying to make everybody pretty much be miserable. Like, that's how I feel. I don't know.
Have you spent much time downtown or in the city?
Yeah. I know. Well, I was homeless for a while here, ever since I was like 14. Yeah. I was here for on the streets for like 6 years.
How was that experience? Was it you mostly?
Well, at the time, it wasn't as bad as it is now. They're not like enforcing the stupidest rules, you know? Like, I feel like we weren't being bothered that much. And I feel like, you know what? If they don't fit in the shelters or the mission, what else are we supposed to do?
Where did you usually sleep?
At the time, I slept under SoCal Bridge, and I slept over by the tracks, over by Depot Park.
And as a young, attractive woman, did you find any problems with other folks around you? Male bullshit or assaults, robberies, anything like
that? When I was in Richmond before, I've been assaulted, but not here.
And you were here mostly during that six-year period or mostly up in Richmond?
Well, no, mostly here. I was in Richmond for just a few months, but I left right after that happened.
Did you get a lot of citations here?
Yes.
And what did they cite you for?
Camping citations, skateboarding citations, smoking citations, sitting on the ground, just sitting on the ground citations, like every
stupid. What did you do with them?
Nothing.
So you're an outstanding criminal, eh?
Pretty much.
How long have you been indoors now?
Like 3 years. Yeah.
You prefer it indoors, I take it.
Well, yeah, I like my boat because it's not like being indoors or outdoors, but it's like own little cabin. My dad gave it to me, so it's like a 30-foot sailboat that I'm able to stay on.
And this is in Moss Landing?
Yeah, in Moss Landing.
What's the name of the boat?
It's a Seawolf.
I know someone who lives on the, I think it's called the Pyxis.
I have no idea which boat that is.
There are a lot of boats in Moss Landing, but
there's a lot of people living there, too, on their boats. So, yeah. I'm sorry. I'm, like, nervous when I come.
No, you're doing fine. I appreciate your thoughts. All right, I can ask you, too. What's your name, sir, for free radio?
Shannon.
Shannon, you've been hassled lately by our friends in blue.
I don't care. I have 41 days in jail to do on January 4th, though. That's for
what?
Drunken Publix and one railroad spike to protect tweakers from taking my shoes and my skateboards.
Has your property generally been left alone, or has it been confiscated by cops and such?
If there's one thing I could possibly carve away from the face of the earth, it would be methamphetamines.
So you think mainly the problem is other people on meth rather than police?
Well, actually, sir, by the way, it just seems to me like it's illegal to sit on the sidewalk, it's illegal to lay on the sidewalk, and it's illegal to sleep on God's green earth. By these laws, they're forcing everyone to basically become tweakers so they can arrest them for being tweakers. This is a jailed society.
High class.
And this is not the America that won World War II. I'm done, sir.
Thank you. All right, Bunny Rabbit, what do you got to say?
It's Yo-Yo.
Of course. So, Yo-Yo, what's up?
I got socks.
You did get, we knew that. You already told us you got socks yesterday.
And I'm going to Mendocino tomorrow to go trim tomato plants.
I kind of doubt that, but we'll let that one pass. Any new adventures in the last day?
We're collecting shiny energy rocks to trade for items for our trip to Mendocino to trim tomato plants.
So I was going to move my boat.
I'll let the audience ponder that particular thing. Anything else you want to hit?
I'm going to the shelter to have dinner, and I'm going to be at the Grateful Dead dance tonight, and I'm going to have sex.
That sounds good.
Oh, yeah, by the way, it's my birthday. I'm 27 years old today.
Your mommy's birthing day, so to speak?
Yes, we are starting a new kind of 27 club. These people don't die when we turn 27.
Any thoughts on the Occupy movement last year?
I wasn't here for it, but I was in Boston when they had their big one, and I'm behind it 100%.
Cool. Good luck, and congratulations to your mom on her good work.
Yeah, thank you. I'm sure she'd appreciate it.
Thank
All right,
you.
Robert. In the marina. They have that break.
So we are, you are tuned to Free Radio 101.3 FM. In the studio with me is Bill. Call-in number is 427-3772. And the squeal you hear in the background is the sound of tapes being readied for more playing. Again, call in if you'd like. If you have any, had any thoughts yourself, have any reports you want to make. Actually, I will take this opportunity to read a report I got from an email right before the show, a couple hours before the show, actually, from a guy called Steve Jones. I think he's actually been on the air before here. Calls himself a local Santa Cruzan, UC graduate Santa Cruz. He's writing about the library situation. You may remember on the last show, I think I mentioned on the Sunday show, or maybe I didn't, the library board, and that's not quite the proper name, which meets every month, is considering more stringent rules regarding sleeping in the library, having a bad odor in the library, having unattended property in the library, and then there's a fourth concern they have. They're going to increase the penalties. Right now, according to the Sentinel, there's suspension for, I think, a month. They want to make it so you can be suspended for up to 6 months or a year, and it's... say that again, Bill.
It's ridiculous.
Now, wait a minute. We want order. These people must control themselves in the library. What, are you for some sort of anarchy and wild craziness in the library?
Well, I think people can go in there and be neat and clean and orderly, but to throw people out for 6 months or a year, that's ridiculous.
And in all fairness to the library board, and I just very quickly glanced over their proposal, which comes up in early December for those who want to go to the library board, which is a public meeting, and I encourage people to do that. I'll be announcing, I hope, if people continue to bring this to my attention and I don't space it out for other things. I'll give you the times and the place that the library board is meeting. There has been one Sentinel article on it. But to be fair to them, I believe they're talking about the third or fourth warning or some such thing that you get for, you know, you smell, you should go to the Homeless Lack of Services Center and get a shower during the day, or the Corota Soup Kitchen to get a shower during the day, where there are showers available. I don't know how available in terms of the waiting lines. Maybe you can tell me more about that, Bill. Anything?
It seems to move rather briskly.
So you can get a shower without...
Morning, depending on your status of population during the day, mm-hmm. and into the night.
But if you're in the Pauley loft, in the loft, or if you're just a homeless person who's coming in
on
the street?
If you're on the street, you can get in there during the day and get a shower.
Okay, and that's a legitimate justification for being on the property, in other words, to get a shower.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, that's good.
And to eat, and to get clothes.
Right, well, to eat, the only happens...
Twice a day.
You can get your mail if you pay for it.
And you can also get mail at HPHP.
And go to the homeless person's health project.
Right, yeah, there's a lot of services. Again, they don't have enough resources for the demand that's placed on them.
Well, that's for sure. And, of course, that's always the caveat I hear when I'm critical. I'm critical not so much that they don't have enough resources. My main criticism of the Homeless Lack of Services Center and the Grand Dame, Monica Martinez, is that their primary function has to be shelter, because that's what people need at night. And in Santa Cruz, it's illegal to shelter yourself at night anywhere in the city limits, period. Unless you're on private property, inside a house or domicile, or in a fenced-in side yard or backyard, or even a front yard that's not visible from the street. Those are exceptions. Or if you get one of the 14 or 15 people can get into the...
Well, I'd like to take my chances in an RV.
Yeah, but you're taking your chances. And I'm saying that that's also illegal. And the fact of the matter is, the idea that the Homeless Lack of Services Center is actually providing real services around this...
If anybody knows about a deal on an RV, call Bill at this station.
Give a call to Bill at 423-HUFF, 423-4833. That's not the number of the station. That's the number for Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. And I will, next time I see you or hear you, Bill, I know you don't have a phone yourself, maybe I can say, yes, there are four RVs that are for sale. And I guess, but I, frankly, I rarely get response on this, you know, to this kind of an appeal. But, you know.
This is an appeal.
Indeed. This is an appeal. then he's an appealing guy. So do it. 423-4833 is the number to call off air. And again, if you want to call in immediately with an offer of an RV, at what are you willing to pay there, Bill?
I'll negotiate.
It's negotiable. 427-3772 is our on-air number. This is what the, again, getting back to the library issue, this is a letter I got. To whom it may concern, November 15th. The Santa Cruz Public Library needs to return the free book exchange to the main lobby of the downtown library and to all the other library branches throughout the county. The library has illegally stolen the free book exchange from the community commons, and it needs to be immediately restored to the citizenry. The library needs to remove the spy and surveillance cameras in the front downtown lobby and stop selling books in the front lobbies of all the public library branches throughout the county. Books are free. The Santa Cruz Public Library system has illegally instituted an economic apartheid system of who and who cannot afford books to purchase and read. The library needs to cease and desist from stealing public flyers and brochures that are put out to the community on our community bulletin boards and displays. I've often complained that when I put up a flyer, it disappears very quickly. That is illegal. I don't know if it's illegal, but it's a blatant violation of our First Amendment right to free speech. Of course, they'll say, no, it's a private organization, or no, you can't do that because there are our rules and our regulations. See, they always, this is always the caveat. It's public, but not really. It's controlled by bureaucrats, so you had no role in appointing, have no way of having, they have no accountability except to the people who hire them and fire them. And
you never see them.
Good luck, yeah. Santa Cruz Public Library is also engaged in censoring what free books do and do not get shelved out in the front lobbies of all library branches. Most books being put out are extreme right-wing military and or right-wing Christian texts that have no place in the, in this county. Actually, I would say I don't mind. I mean, I actually had on the air, I played some blurbs of a Christian fundamentalist woman who actually was also being harassed in the library because of her point of view. So you can get harassed from the right, you can get harassed from the left. You know, you can get harassed for all kinds of reasons there.
You know, it don't come easy.
Well, if you are a person who's outspoken, if you insist on asserting your rights, then you may find the hammer comes down, in which case you have to be prepared to say, ouch, in a loud way, and maybe stand your ground or whatever you need to do. I think I have noticed, you know, the library books that are on the library books aren't free out there. They are selling them for 50 cents and a dollar in the front lobby of the library. And they have this sort of fancier area where the books are $4, most of them, in a kind of a, they're in cases, and they have a guy there who's monitoring this and taking in your money. And there's a little credit card thing, or you can pay with a credit card.
Well, if you need to buy a book, it's a good deal.
It is true that the books are certainly significantly cheaper than even the fine, sarcastically, the fine bookstores, although I like the remaining bookstores, except, of course, the ones I can go in. I have not been allowed in the bookshop Coonerty or bookshop Santa Cruz for 17 years.
You've got to be kidding.
No. I'm banned from that bookstore. We did.
Hell, they let me in.
Well, you're a healer, and I'm a heel, perhaps. That might be the difference. You know, it could be.
Let's see what happens if we walk in together.
I would be cited for trespass, or told to leave, and if I didn't leave, cited for trespass.
And they could throw us both out then.
Well, then you would also join the list. But I have actually justification for going in there if I want to do that, and I've thought of doing it. The bookshop Coonerty, or the bookshop Santa Cruz, as it's called by its owners, the Coonertys, is one of the three places in Santa Cruz in the downtown area that have what are called visitors' restrooms. Visitors' restrooms, you'll see a little sign out front, are paid for by taxpayer dollars and open to the public, not just the customers, but the public. They're much more comfortable and much more commodious than the bare, grim stalls that you find in the parking garages. And one of them is in the bookshop Coonerty, one of them is in Pizza My Heart, and the other one is in the Cafe Gratitude, which used to be some tea shop. It's now on the side street near the Del Mar Theater.
That's where I had dinner tonight.
Which I understand, are they still doing the free dinner or for the whatever you can afford dinners?
I got dinner tonight for a penny.
Well, good for you and good for them, and I'm glad to hear that. That's the way it should be.
A very nice place.
Yeah, I've been in there. I asked about it. They have the gratitude thing. And do you eat there often?
Weekly.
So you don't want to do they have a requirement? You can't eat there every night, or?
Oh, you can eat there 7 days a week.
And do you know people who do that?
No. But I do know a lot of people who go there to eat regularly. And that program needs donations so that people like me
can continue
to eat and not have to trek all the way back to the shelter.
Almost. Yeah. What's the story with Elm Street? I haven't heard much about the quality of their food or their situation on the weekend. They have
ample food.
And what are their every Saturday, Sunday nights? Or what's the story?
It was Thursday night.
It's only one night a week? Or?
Yeah, it's one night a week. I believe it's like 4 or 5 o'clock in the evening. I think they eat at 6.
Mm-hmm. And I know there's a Monday meal at the Red Church. And that's
Red
five or six
yeah.
o'clock. Mm-hmm. And then there's Sunday meals, of course. How's the Sunday meal out at the Homeless Lack of Services Center?
Excellent.
And is that run by a religious group? Or
different churches and organizations pitch in.
Good.
And I guess I find it the easiest place to access in town in terms of one-stop shopping.
Uh-huh, the Homeless Lack of Services Center. Or the Homeless Services Center. Or the
That's
homeless,
what I call it.
Homeless.
I call it home.
Full service. The home. The home.
yes.
Healer's home, perhaps. In any case, continuing this email from Steve Jones about the library and his concerns about a number of things that are going on there. What we have here, he writes, is a fascist right-wing military police state operation promoting their lies and propaganda through our public library system. This has got to stop immediately. I mean, I got to be honest, I see a lot of simply trashy fiction novels there, and as well as, you know, there's some right-wing political tracts, and there's some Christian fundamentalist stuff. I guess, you know, what you see depends on what you're looking for, too.
And I'm glad to say that the left is well represented.
Yeah, the mellow left. To get some really hard left stuff, you got to go somewhere else. They let me go up to the Sub Rosa Cafe.
Whole Earth Catalog, I believe you can get that in the library.
I don't call that hard left particularly.
Well, you can learn how to build a bomb.
Anarchist Cookbook will tell you how to. Or U.S. military manuals will tell you how to do that. Or Obama will tell you how to bomb. I mean, he's doing great with his drones.
He's
doing a fine job.
We're covered.
Yeah, well, they're keeping an eye on you just to make sure. You know, remember, if he needs to assassinate you, he's ready to go. No writ of habeas corpus anymore.
I voted
anymore.
For him.
I'm sorry to hear it. But sort of a lot of other people, I think, misled by the notion of the greater, lesser evil. The real question, of course, I think, is well put.
I worked for Mitt Romney's dad.
So?
And
it's not the issue.
Mitt Romney is not George Romney.
Yeah, well, we know that. But the that's the thing the Democrats have used in every single election, and that's what they use to move things further and further to the right. It's just the wrong way to go.
Obama knows where the money is. Mick can help him count it.
Mm-hmm. Well, the two of them, I'm sure, are very happy together, even though they're nominally opponents. But continuing with the library, our local issue here, according to Steve Jones, regarding internal access and use, he writes further, the library is engaged in illegal spying and surveillance of public patrons by forcing users to divulge their state ID number in order to receive and use a library card. Without a card, patrons cannot access the internet, and when they do, they are forced into having to log in with their library card number, giving the local mafia-run police state the ability to illegally track, monitor, and record users' internet activity. And part of me would have said maybe a few years ago, I'm a little paranoid here. But then I hear from Google that there is a massive increase in the number of requests from the government for access to the user numbers or the user stuff on Google. And, of course, the fact that with the Democrats in power supporting Obama's abuses that are becoming more and more rampant around civil liberties, they're essentially the Bush-era abuses made normal under the Obama regime. You don't have any traction in fighting this kind of shit.
I missed some of the returns. How did things turn out in the Senate and the Congress?
I think, the Republicans, I don't think it makes any difference, but the Republicans control the House. And the Democrats control the Senate.
Did they pick up any
seats? And the Democrats can have a supermajority in the state legislature now. They control everything there. They can do whatever they want, which isn't particularly good for homeless people. I mean, there are some exceptions. There are some few things Democrats have done that are worth looking at.
But well, people with money, they can contribute regardless who, what party is in power.
Yeah. Yeah. I hereby publicly call, Steve Jones writes, for the current director of the Santa Cruz Public Library, along with the rest of her extreme right-wing military police state operatives here, to be immediately fired from their jobs here in Santa Cruz County. It is clear that every attempt is being made to censor what books go out to the public. It is also clear that every attempt is being made to illegally track and spy on patrons' internet activity. There's no place for such fascist right-wing military police activity in this county. Community and progressive voices are being censored, and we're losing our democracy and our future because of right-wing police state scum such as this. Throw them out and take back our public libraries. I think he's got the wrong idea. I think it's the progressives who are doing this. Not the progressives, I think, are, you know, control the library and control the...
The Moody Blues had it right. It's a question of balance.
Be nice to have some balance, but I don't think we have that at the present time. But is that what you're saying?
Well, a lot of people talk out of turn.
What does that mean?
If we all step back... Well, we're all on a pretty tough roller coaster. Whatever strata you're in, it can be hell out there.
I think some people are on a pretty nice, cushy situation.
Yeah, and those who have should be giving more.
Well, it's but to say,
and those who receive should be doing more with it.
It's like some feudal priest. I mean, yeah, that's nice, but what happens is things don't change until people rise up and demand the changes. As I think they need to do, to preach to the rich, be more charitable.
People live as their word. If people will live as their word,
yeah,
things will be as people want them to be.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's the 99%, we win.
Unfortunately,
round them up, bring them in. Everybody's sure to win.
This is the guy you'll be listening to on free radio when he gets his new show, and I will move on to the next street interview.
Well, it's around 20 to 6 at the Red Church, Calvary Episcopal, on November 12th, 2012. Now it's getting dark. So we're talking with Ian MacKay. And Ian, you're a regular worker here.
I am.
Probably the only man with a kilt in the house.
That's for sure.
And you had a thought about the disruption, the two mayors trial that I've just lost and I'm trying to retry.
Well, from what I figure is the issue really isn't the salute. The real issue has to do with the fact that they are using that as an excuse to throw you out for a disruption issue. And throwing you out is one thing, but the whole issue has to do with the court and the way it was carried out, and I feel that it was a miscarriage of justice. You have your right as a citizen to express yourself within certain bounds. I feel that what you did was within that bounds. I don't think it was really a disruptive thing, and I think that's something that it's just politics as usual and people playing politics along with the courts.
I think we're going to put you on the next jury for sure.
Well, if I wouldn't have voted the way they did.
Me neither.
Well, see, I believe, and there's two ways of looking at the law.
And for those who don't know, in case you haven't been listening to the show at all, maybe you haven't, you're not aware of the, you're aware of the mock Nazi salute trial. I don't know if you're familiar with it.
I think I saw it in a movie.
Yeah, well, it's on the front page of the Sentinel a couple times. It's all about this, yeah, well, you know what that's about. So I want to make sure you knew what we were talking about. For those who are... wait a minute, your mic isn't up. You've been censored here. We gotta watch out here.
I've been censored before.
You've been censored, boy, and you may be censored again if you keep it up. Anyway, let's go on. I think regular listeners know what these folks are talking about. If you have any questions and you're feeling lost in the tapes, give a call, 427-3772. Bill will be able to counsel you, and I will be able to criticize you, so we can do a little of a double-barreled approach.
Spirit of the law or the letter of the law? I believe in the spirit of the law.
Thank you. And again, we've been talking with
Ian MacKay.
I've got a serious emergency.
Out of luck.
Talking with
my name is Bob Noctis.
Bob, you say there have been some police activity?
Some. I think it's all been at Cowles Beach and up and down there and around the Depot Park area.
Yeah. What's happened recently?
Well, Well, I don't know what I don't know what it is, but for some reason they just every half an hour send like a whole crew of cops scouring the beaches with ATVs and everything else they can come up with. It's like and they come up with nothing ever. It's crazy. They just waste a lot of time and they're busting people for having broken pot pipes. They're busting people for having you know stupid stuff they would never bust people for. But basically, is what they're doing.
How much time have you spent at Cal Beach in the last week?
Last week, I've spent probably about 3-4 days there.
And what time of day are you usually there?
I'm there in the day and night. Yeah, I live on the beach.
And let's say today, have you been at Cal's Beach?
Yeah.
And what have you seen there today?
Well, I saw the cops go up to go out there today with their ATVs, and you know everybody kind of went scattering, you know.
ATV being a
well, they're 4x little motorcycles. They're 4x, all terrain vehicles, ATVs, and they go out there and now they're parking away from Cal's Beach and walking in, but they're sneaking in. They're trying to come up. It's like it's really unnerving when they go in there every half an hour. You know, it's like most of the people have gone to, I don't want to say where over the radio.
Secret location.
Yeah, so most people have gone to an alternate location, but, you know, that soon is going to be blown up too because, you know, it's a matter of time for the popo finds that. So just they keep going from spot to spot to spot. Eventually you're going to be out of spots, the way I see it.
Remember, homeless people outnumber the police. Keep that in mind.
That's true, but we're all the same comet, you know. Well, I mean, a comet did hit the planet and hydrate it and give us our oceans and our water here, and the same water has been here ever since. Can't leave the atmosphere, and we are 80% water, our bodies, so we are 80% comet.
Are you saying the police are all wet?
All harassment.
Well, in the brain, maybe. They need phosphatidylserine, they need acetyl-L-carnitine, and they need Eracium herinaceus, which is the Latin term for a type of fungus. It's called lion's mane fungus on the street. But those three things in concert will improve their clarity and their memory and stuff like that. And then they wouldn't be such putzes.
We've been talking with that famed mycologist,
Robert Noxious.
Thank you, Robert.
And actually, if you look at the headline of the Sentinel a couple days ago, there was a big thing on Cowles Beach and how a local, I guess, surf club guy had brought his video camera down there because he was finding needles on the beach or needles in an area, sort of concealed area with signals for people who want to, use the needles. Although, why people want to go to get used needles, I have no idea if that's in fact true. And there was no direct testimony that anybody said, yeah, these are areas, but there's the claim that there were these secret palm frams or pine cones or leaves that were laid out that if you walked along and you saw them, that's where you go down to either, I don't know, get rid of the needles or get the needles or shoot up or something. I don't know what the deal is there, but that was a front page story in the Sentinel, and it was also a big deal on Santa Cruz Patch, which is an alternative news online, which I'm hoping to have Brad Cava in the studio. He's agreed repeatedly to come into the studio. Brad is a man with whom I often disagree because he seems to me to be he takes a somewhat, I think, a negative view of homeless folks, even though I think he probably thinks he doesn't. So, any thoughts, Bill?
Safe needle exchange is a good thing.
Yeah, I would say so for sure. In fact, what I'm going to do right now is give a call to our safe needle exchange expert, Steve Plage, who has been doing this for some time and who can perhaps tell us the magnitude of the menace of the Cowell Beach needle situation. So we can find this guy. We'll give him a call. Sometimes we can find him and sometimes we can't. And I remind all you listeners out there that you do, if you have a phone...
Hello.
This is Steve Plage, needle exchange guy.
That's me.
So, Steve, we were noting I was referring to the Cowles Beach headline story, needles everywhere with secret code vegetation to tell people where to go. What's this all about from your perspective?
Well, Cal and now that cove in there is a notorious party beach, and so there's just a lot of needle activity in there. You know, needle exchange outreach, we really don't do as much as we should in that area. most of the needles are cleaned up by Save Our Shores, for instance. They go out for a beach cleanup, and they know how to handle needles. They have needle protocols. But, you know, Santa Cruz Syringe Access, with which I'm affiliated, will exchange, you know, 200,000 clean needles for contaminated this year alone in Santa Cruz County. And, you know, we just can't be everywhere.
Well, what about this claim in the paper, or was it in the video on the Santa Cruz patch, that there is a sort of a secret code being used where you, I know, certain plants are placed in a certain way to show that this is where to come for the, I don't know, whether it's the party spot or the, you know, here's where you can go to get hepatitis for some from some used needles. I mean, what did you think of that? Did you read that story at all? Or?
I glanced across it, and I did register a comment online about Santa Cruz Syringe Access and the work that we do. I mean, there's nothing you can do necessarily about people who want to party, and they have their own secret codes they developed probably over the years. If people want to go down there and put some eyes on that and, you know, do some kind of an action to try to clean that up, you know, maybe that's what they should be doing. But, you know, law enforcement, I don't think, has the manpower to be patrolling that, you know, 24 hours a day, which is probably what it would require. So, you know, I don't know what to think about it. It's just one of those things.
Yeah, I'm looking at the KSBW news feed from November 11th, and it's a video recorded. There are tons of trash were found with medical waste. We found hypodermic needles, massive amounts of medications, bottles full of what seemed to be urine. Oh, nearly 3 tons of garbage were pulled out by, I mentioned these three guys who did the video. City workers were called in. Any comments on that?
Well, I mean, I saw that, and I'm not really surprised about that at all. It's the Santa Cruz, particularly on the main beach in Cal, and that's... It's just a continuous party location, and you know the fact that it's just being discovered now doesn't say much for the city parks department in terms of them actually being attentive to things like that. I don't know how in the world 3 tons of trash or hypodermic needles or medical waste or anything else could accumulate on city beaches without there being at least some, you know. Knowledge from the city park rangers, city parks department, city officials. So I think you got to lay that at their feet. It's not, you know, I mean, certainly you don't want people out there partying and disposing of medical waste and leaving needles and that kind of thing. But on the other hand, you know, we do pay our park rangers and our parks department, our city officials to deal with these kinds of things. And if they're not doing that to the extent that they pile up to 3 tons of garbage, then that's obviously a problem.
I think that was the concern of the guy who was taking the video, because he told the city and they didn't do anything about it. And that way, I think it's a positive approach, citizen activism. On the other hand, it gives the edge to Take Back Santa Cruz types to want to emphasize this as being some kind of homeless-related criminal behavior. And I just played an audio tape before you. I called you about a guy, Bob Noxious, who lives out there, a homeless guy who lives in the Cal Beach area, who talks about massive police raids all the time, police vehicles on the beach, police sneaking in to try to, you know, and dispersing people again and again. Is this your fault, Steve? Are you behind all this?
Well, I did note with some interest all the Facebook activity and the Santa Cruz Patch activity about surrounding this latest find, and I noticed that some people are attributing this to the presence of homeless folks in Santa Cruz generally, or transients or vagrancy or something like that, and somehow relating this to intravenous drug use. I can tell you that as an outreach worker for Santa Cruz Syringe Access, certainly there is a crossover between intravenous drug users and some homeless folks, but the vast majority of people who are using intravenous drugs are not the homeless community. So to, you know, imply that somehow the intravenous drug user community and the homeless community are one and the same, and they're, you know, somehow collaborating on causing this problem, is simply not the fact.
Well, would it be fair, though, to say that the the needles left outside are, well, I guess, is there a reasonable suspicion to believe that those are left by homeless drug users?
Not I don't necessarily know whether there is any factual or statistical reason for that. People are out partying, and even housed people party just as heavily and probably more so because they can afford to do it, more so than homeless folks. So my suspicion would be all along that whole stretch of beach, and that includes Cal, all the way down even to Twin Lakes in that area. It's just the party beach, Seabright and all of that, just notorious party beaches, and they're party beaches for people who live in Santa Cruz, and not necessarily transient, not necessarily homeless folks, but people who live in Santa Cruz. I couldn't tell you exactly what percentage of those people would be homeless, but it's just as likely that a homeless person who is using drugs intravenously would leave a needle as it would be for somebody who is housed and using intravenous drugs to leave a needle. So there, I don't know if there's any correlation.
So, Steve, you also were invited by the Santa Cruz Urinal, or some call it the Sentinel, to write an op-ed piece for Sunday regarding the ill-fated Linda LeMaster, Lighthouse Linda, who was essentially criminalized for protest 2 years ago at Peace Camp 2010 and now faces a six-month jail sentence and possibly, you know, $1,000 fine on December 3rd. And I guess there's also a benefit coming up for her, too. But how are you, has this been, are you actually, are we going to read your screed in the paper on Sunday?
It depends on Don Miller's decision to make. I sent that to him on Wednesday, so Don will make that decision and see whether he wants to print or not. I think it's certainly relevant, topical, and timely, considering the fact that Linda was just, her court case trial just ended, and she was just recently convicted. So I think it's something that the community, you know, should speak up on. And, you know, if he decides that what I have to say is reflective of, you know, one point of view, then I'm sure he'll print it.
So you also, you were, of course, you ran for city council for a second time, and you've been kind of, you get to more meetings than you can shake a stick at. You're with SOS, Save Our Shores, cleanups. You do suicide prevention. You're also a Homeless Legal Assistance Project guy who does far less than I want, but far more than what a lot of other people do.
There you go.
So, and your number, is, of course, where you can be reached is 466-6078.
6078. And I will tell your listeners that I just checked the latest election results, and now I am up now to about 3,500 votes.
I see. So are you going to demand a recount until you win?
Well, possibly, if my vote count keeps rising precipitously. And there's still 8,800 provisional votes to count, of which about 85% will be considered qualified. So, you know, I might get up around 4,000 or so. So I'll be outstripping our good friends Steve Argue and Thomas Apolli Levitt, but probably not up to the Simba Kenyatta level yet. But I'm making up ground here late surge.
In the studio with me is Bill, who is co-hosting with me today. Bill was congratulating you on your electoral vote count.
Yeah, it's really a little better than kind of I expected. I don't necessarily get a lot of kind of and one votes. Most people who vote for me are voting specifically for me, and it's not just because they vote for Jake Fusaro or Michael Posner or CeCe Panero or anybody else. So
thanks
I'm
for running.
But, you know, if I appreciate the kind words. I enjoyed the process. This was a little more difficult this year because I actually had to work a little harder than I did 2 years ago. Yeah. But it's very gratifying. And if I can get up in the, you know, 4,000 and 5,000 vote range, then I can see, you know, some possibility of actually getting enough votes to win one day.
Prior to becoming homeless this past year, I was planning on running for mayor myself. Or common council. But homelessness took precedence.
Well, I'm certain it does. You know, we have a lot of sympathy and compassion for people who are homeless, and oftentimes we would like them to be more politically active, but we understand that survival is a priority, and getting by every day and feeding oneself when you're homeless and sheltering oneself when you're not going to be chased around the city at night kind of takes precedence over being politically active. So
I'd probably be bad at actually running things.
Well, you never know. You might have an administrative flair that you're not aware of. you certainly would do as well as the people we have in power now. So, you know, it couldn't be any worse than it is.
Now, you're also vice chair of the notoriously inactive local ACLU board. And I understand you've abandoned your quest for an injunction against the camping sweeps. You've abandoned your quest for the downtown ordinance changes. Instead, you're working on this crazy Norse, a mock Nazi salute case.
Yes, that's right. Generated a flurry of activity on our Gmail website, kind of thing. So it was interesting. I'm hoping maybe, I just got an email from Linda today, and she's really looking for some support prior to her sentencing on December 3rd. So I know that she's would like to get the Quakers to send a letter, a pre-sentencing letter, and maybe I can convince the ACLU to draft something in her behalf. I don't know on what ground, certainly. You and I both understand that 647E, as applied, is probably unconstitutional, because it's vague, it's ambiguous, it really allows too much discretion to the police about how it's enforced. If we can kind of galvanize that, into a particular position, maybe the ACLU would actually take one, but I'm kind of thinking about asking Linda to come to the next meeting, which would be before her sentencing, and maybe we can figure out something to do on her behalf.
When is the next meeting of the local Do Nothing
ACLU?
It's
always the fourth Wednesday of the month, so it'll be on the 28th.
28th?
Yeah.
Okay, Steve, anything coming up people should know about in terms of events that we shouldn't miss or we should be aware of?
Oh, well, the Thanksgiving dinner, of course. Well, we'll be at the Red Church on Monday, as we always are. And the Armory opened today, as you know, so that's now available for homeless folks. Over the weekend, there's several things going on. Actually, I was supposed to be going out to a desal thing this evening, as you know, Measure P pass, so now we're getting ready to fight the real battle about desal, but most important, I think, for homeless folks is that Monday night at the Red Church for the dinner, the satellite shelter program has five nights now, including Holy Cross Church, so that's probably something that homeless folks might be interested in, presuming they can get any space in our shelter programs. There's going to be the Thanksgiving dinner at Homeless Services Center next Thursday. It's kind of a scaled-down version of our usual, 1,200 person meal, but at least we're going to do something.
Well, let's talk about that. I know you like to put the prettiest smile on these really gruesome situations, but of course, every Christmas and every Thanksgiving for the last 20 or years, and maybe more, there has been a meal previously at the Vets Hall before they closed down the Vets Hall without any justification, or at least justification challenged by the vets' own attorneys and studies. And you and others worked to find other places, I guess the Civic Auditorium at one point. And this time, instead of having, capacity for 1,200, this is going to be capacity for 300 people for a Thanksgiving meal?
350. What had happened was that the previous 2 years, we'd had kind of an organization that was able to, put together, as you can imagine, putting on a full Thanksgiving meal with all the trimmings for 1,200 people is a relatively large undertaking, but we were able to do it the last 2 years specific because we had the right organization, the right people, and actually it was successful and fun to do. This year, the people who were, the real key folks, our meal planners and executive chefs, had other commitments, and so we got down to the wire, and I said, the county had offered us the Civic again, and I talked to the folks, and they said, you just can't do it. So I suggested the Homeless Services Center would host something out there, and they decided to take that on. But they're only able to accommodate 350 people. They're going to do five seatings of 65 folks each in their dining hall on campus, and you're familiar with that. That's not enough. That's all I can say.
Wait a minute. This you're rather vague about this, or it sounds like they're rather vague. other commitments? I mean, what, to Thanksgiving dinners of their own? Don Lane was a big figurehead in this whole thing at one time, was he not?
Well, Don was more of a figurehead than anything else. He's not.
Who were the movers and shakers in the past?
He's not an executive chef, you know, nor am I. And really, the folks who made this happen the last couple of years were Dennis Adams and Dennis's son and a couple of Dennis's friends who were also executive chefs, and this year they simply had other commitments, and so there's nothing that we could do about that, because they are absolutely essential to getting that thing to happen. So we just have to do what we can, and this is what we can do.
Mm-hmm. I'll be probably stuffing my face somewhere else anyway, so what do I care what happens to these homeless people?
Well, I just did a little piece for KSBW last night, which they broadcast on their news, and I asked that, you know, the Elm Street Mission, who has a small serving on Thanksgiving for kind of their congregation and a few others, and the Salvation Army does something, Salvation Army on Laurel, right close to the location of I forget what it is, the organization. At any rate, they do a Thanksgiving dinner on the Tuesday before Thanksgiving usually, so I just made an appeal to them to, you know, set a couple extra places, because there may very well be some folks without a meal on Thanksgiving, and that's not the Santa Cruz way, so we're going to do the best we can.
I think you have a fantasy about what the Santa Cruz way is, but what can I say? Steve Plaich, homeless persons, a legal assistance project person, and former Occupy Santa Cruz activist. Thank you for...
The once in future, I am Occupy.
You
anyway,
are.
I will talk to both of you later. Phil, take care
if
of yourself.
If I need an attorney, I'll give you a call.
All right, man. Take care of yourself. And Robert, keep doing the good work.
Hey, you too, man.
Bye-bye. All right, take care.
And you're tuned to Free Radio, 101.3 FM, the website for Free Radio. In case you want to help us out or get more information about us, is at freakradio.org. In the studio with me is the noteworthy Uncle Bill here, whose full moniker is William Adamski. Or is it Adamski? I'm not sure.
Either way.
Either one, okay.
Adamski.
Let's hear some more from the streets, and since all you... listeners out there are choosing not to call in, so let's hear what I've got for you.
We're talking to a victim who's eating an apple. What's your name?
A victim?
Well, of a bust.
I'm not a victim. Jesus Christ is a victim.
Right. Were you, in fact, busted, though, by the police?
No, not that I know of.
Oh, I thought you just said you just recently were cited or something, because people have been getting citations.
I have not gotten a citation yet.
No. I hope you don't.
I know. Me too. Just pray.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thanks.
Talking with?
Alex.
And what happened to you, Alex, that you think is of concern?
One time I was eating my Subway sandwich I just purchased outside of Subway off of Pacific Avenue, sitting down on the sidewalk eating, and a cop came up to me and my friend and told my friend to beat it, and then told me to stand up because I couldn't sit there, and after I stood up, he told me to sit back down because he had some questions to ask me, and I told him, well, hey, you just told me I can't sit here, but now you're telling me to sit here. And then he said I had attitude with him, and I was obstructing his work, and arrested me and took me to jail.
What did he charge you with?
For obstruction to a peace officer.
And do you have a court date?
Yeah, I had one back in October 25th.
Did you ever get to it, or are you outstanding?
Yeah, I have an outstanding warrant for it. Yeah.
All right. I wish you luck with that. You might want to talk to the tall guy with the silver hair. He helps that kind of stuff sometimes.
All right. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, we've been talking with
Alex.
Thank you, Alex. Any street reports of any kind?
No.
All right. We have the international homeless report from Uncle Paul. Tell me.
There's now more homeless people here in this country and in Syria, but war by proxy, U.S. government bombing. It was in the newspapers 3 days ago. A homeless person advocate one block from here said, well, Obama's going to help solve the homeless problem. Well, I'm sorry, they're bombing their houses and homes in Syria. They're fleeing into Turkey. Thousands are fleeing from Syria. The bomb Department, U.S. government proxy.
Reducing the homeless problem in Syria. Those Turks can take it.
Exacerbating the homeless problem here and in Syria.
Well, perhaps they're bombing the homeless in order to give them a quick death.
Well, yes, it's really a global problem and a neighborhood problem right in our street corners here in our city.
So you suggest maybe bombing our street corners might be a solution?
No, not at all.
Right, now you're homeless yourself?
No, I have a place to stay now.
Yeah. Very good. Uh-huh. So you have snuck your way into a building or something?
No, it's perfectly legal. Everything is legal. I'm legal. I'm legal, yeah.
So he says, folks. Yeah. We'll see about that. Yeah. Again, we've been talking with that legal guy.
Paul Bernardino, thank you very much.
Thank you, Paul. Any street reports?
Just what I heard about the guy in the wheelchair.
You heard a guy in a wheelchair near Denny's die?
Yes, from exposure. He was out, it was 3 nights ago. It was really, really cold, and I heard he just died.
Is this sort of on the grapevine or something? You don't know who the guy was?
I heard about it at the shelter where I stay at on 115 Coral Street.
And your name is?
John.
So I don't know actually if anybody did die of exposure at Denny's. I haven't heard any confirmation of that, and actually I haven't sought it out. A lot of this stuff all blurs in my mind until I actually review it on the radio. If anybody has more information on that, I'd like to know about it. Bill, you have some thoughts on any of this? Or I mean, you're not expected to. I just thought you might if you want to say something. While you're thinking about that...
My thoughts begin to blur.
No, well, there you are. Blur City. There was an issue. I had a co-host last show, Toby, who's working on doing Copwatch. And I was doing some of that last night downtown. And people are beginning to start paying attention to what the police are doing. People are doing more videoing, more, you know, phone videoing with the personal phones that people have. But there was also one of the issues that came up when Toby was on the air. He claimed that Sacramento would become it was legal to camp in Sacramento thanks to the good work of Safe Ground, which I told him wasn't the case as far as I know, but I was going to check on that. So I contacted Paula of SHOCK, Sacramento Homelessness Organizing Committee, and I got back a response. Camping is illegal in Sacramento, as usual, against the law to store or set camping paraphernalia on any property, on public property, for any length of time. No legal camps. In fact, police and rangers have stepped up harassing and sweeps along the American River Parkway. There was a tent city in December of last year for a month or two. It was doing pretty good until they decided to break it up with the cops. Ever since then, they've been trying to keep more than a few people from camping together. Board of Supervisors Phil Cerna has been a main culprit in the law enforcement pressure. That's from Paula Lamazzi of SHOCK, Sacramento Homelessness Organizing Committee. Let's hear some more from last Monday's Red Church and folks there. A lot of people in line, a lot of people waiting to eat, and I was running around with my ancient tape recorder.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Pam, we played you on the radio the other day and did your update. Remember from about 2 months ago?
Yeah.
Anything new happening you want to talk about?
No, not really.
Words of encouragement for discouragement, perhaps?
Just be careful.
You don't know the name of the guy who died in the wheelchair, do you? He's telling me some guy died in a wheelchair.
Sort of Denny. Living in front of Denny on that corner.
What's his name?
I don't know.
Wait, I don't know yet. I'm trying to confirm it. Thank you.
Now, again, I don't know that anyone died in a wheelchair. It hasn't been in the papers. I haven't heard confirmation, so don't go away from this broadcast thinking that's necessarily the case. That's just the account of one person, second or third hand.
Reports from the street for Free Radio?
I just got back. I don't know what's going on.
Welcome back. Where you been?
In San Francisco.
How is San Francisco compared with Santa Cruz?
Real bad. The homeless people, they don't want you there now. They're trying to send you away. They have what they call a nuisance squad, because you know they got their sit in line now up in San Francisco.
Tell me about that.
You try to sit out and lay down on the pavement between 7 a.m. or 11 o'clock. You get a citation. They take your picture and everything.
Do they give you a picture of your picture? Can you show it to your mom?
Nah, they just do that to identify you when they come back around. And they let the citations stack up to $10,000, then they take you in.
Good news is, in Berkeley, the sit-lie law on the ballot was voted down narrowly by about 52% to 48%, something like that.
You can't go turn yourself in and get rid of it. And they've been getting giving a lot of jaywalking tickets. And you know, San Francisco, they hadn't used jaywalking in 100 years.
How long have you been living up in San Francisco?
About this time of year, but I was born and raised there.
Where were you? You were in Santa Cruz before?
Yeah, since 79. You remember my wife in the wheelchair when I went to jail? You did an interview with her?
You know, you look vaguely familiar, but
you see a lot of people. But you did an interview with her over the radio.
I believe it. We've been talking with?
Yeah.
You want to say you are for a radio broadcast?
I'm for free radio and for free people.
Thank you, man.
If somebody has to control somebody, they have control issues.
Thank you. Talking with?
Yeah, my name is Gary Curry.
Gary, you're new in town, old in town?
I've been here since 2003, but just recently became homeless.
How did that happen? If you wish to say.
Yeah, just life happened, I guess. Life happened.
How long have you been homeless?
Since 2006.
And have you been homeless here in Santa Cruz mostly?
Yeah.
And how is it?
Well, they treat the homeless people as if they're not people. I mean, we get treated as if we're not really worthy of any kind of treatment at all, because treatment is based off money in the first place. So unless you have some sort of financial standing in life, you don't get any respect from society. You just kind of get banished.
Any particular encounters that demonstrate this to you very vividly?
I was standing on the street talking with someone, and I wasn't really doing anything wrong. Like, I was just standing there. Actually, someone was asking me if I knew anything about a computer that was stolen, and I was trying to give him information about it, and I got ushered off the street because I'm considered one of the homeless people. And so they ushered me off the street.
They being
the hospitality group of people they have downtown.
You mean the hostility squad?
Right. They're not very hospitable at all, you know. And so, the hospitality is kind of...
Hospitality.
Yeah, correct. So they made a big scene and called the police on me and had me sit down on the ground, and I wasn't even doing anything. I didn't do anything wrong.
Get a citation or just a hassle?
I actually got another ticket.
For?
For walking down the street.
Walking while homeless, or
standing.
Black and homeless, tall, black and homeless,
with a hoodie. Right. Well, it's just frustrating that the police officers actually didn't understand what was going on. They thought I was actually doing something malicious, but just because they had the bad, they got given wrong information by the hospitality workers.
The hospitality workers?
Correct, who are not very hospitable at all.
Thank you. What about anything from the female perspective here?
No.
Okay. I just like live my life and not really pay attention.
That's okay. If anything comes up, let me know. Let me give you. You'll be on free radio probably on Thursday night. Here's my card.
Thank you.
Totally listening.
Awesome.
All right. Lito, any reports?
Trying to be invisible.
Fair enough. We're not. This man. We ignore what he just said. Okay. Right. Any reports from the street? There's a man without a voice. Would you like to say something for free radio? You don't have to. You have the right to remain silent.
I think I'll take the fifth.
There you go. Thank you. How about you? Any reports? Any street reports? Anything happened last week you want to say for free radio?
I don't have any.
All right. Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Street reports, anything from that's happened in the last week that you're interested in telling free radio about?
I woke up in front of a school this morning to a fire alarm.
That woke you up?
Yeah, on Veterans Day.
But you're able to sleep tonight?
Peacefully, yes.
And is that usual? I mean, you slept outside?
Highly unusual.
You mean in the past you've been awakened in an unusual manner?
Well, no, not unusually, but that fire alarm was kind of unusual, but peaceful. Peaceful to sleep through the night.
Now, have you been outside much? Are you a long-term outsider?
Yeah, for about a month now I've been outside. So.
And any hassles, any tickets?
A little bit, yeah. I'm really tired of this interview.
Fair enough. Well, thank you for your patience.
You're welcome.
That again.
Street kids fuck like bunnies. There you go.
Fuck like bunnies? But are they, is that good bunny fucking or bad bunny fucking?
Bad, unless they don't know how to raise their kids to be self-survivaling, self-sustaining, I mean.
Birth control is an issue then, I suppose.
Yeah, right. I don't know.
We've been talking with?
Crazy.
Thank you, Crazy. Any reports from the street? Any street reports?
No.
Here's a few cards. You say there's been a difference between how things were and how they are now? When you were here last?
Yeah.
How has it changed?
Cops are assholes.
And have you experienced this yourself recently?
It's just there's more rules than there used to be.
Okay, fair enough. Anything else you want to say for Free Radio?
This Free Radio?
This is Free Radio. Hey, come through.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. We have a report from...
Flowers.
And from...
Maya.
What are your reports?
That today was a beautiful day, as always.
It was indeed. No hassles?
No hassles.
Very nice.
Actually, a little bit. The cops said that we were a disgrace because we had our stuff blocked from the sidewalk. But, you know, I didn't really think we were doing anything wrong. But I guess they begged to differ. It's okay, though.
How long you been in town?
I was here for like a few days, then I went to Grass Valley, and then I came back a few days ago, and I'm going to leave in a few more days, go south.
And we've been talking with?
Flower.
Thanks, Flower. Who are talking with?
They're always picking people. They're picking on Brianne. That's why she was really, really upset today. I guess they profile her.
Tell me what happened.
I'm not in Santa Cruz much, but she seemed to be really upset, and she's going to kind of rally people to to
stand up to injustice, oppression, and the bad boys.
Yeah, you got it, man.
And we've been talking with
Cornelius Finn.
Thank you, Cornelius. Any other comments from anybody?
I love you, you know, like love.
Love may be the answer in some cases.
Yeah.
If you can do it.
That's what we're working on.
All right, then. Thank you, Cornelius. Any reports from the street?
Not really. I got nothing today. I'm like tired from the meeting.
Street report? We have a report from the downtown from Anonymous, or do you want to say who you are?
Anonymous is good enough right now.
You say there are travesties going on downtown?
I just think that the imbalance of what really is going on and the way the police are handling it, I noticed that their predictive crime thing, they're actually harassing the youth, I feel like, now, because they stop them on their way in and out from school, which sometimes is a problem, but I really feel like that they're not giving them an answer where to go. And I've been really watching some serious frustration from some of the kids unfold, even. I mean, it really does seem like it's that problematic. I've heard some of the kids talking like they're so mad at the cops they could just go at them, you know what I mean? It made me think of the movie The Who, where the moped gangs, because the mopeds weren't acceptable, they had problems that people started riding them as popularity to show people that they wanted to have mopeds and that it should be cool. Kind of like what happened in the 80s with the skaters, but they really aren't giving them much of a place to play anymore.
Fair enough. You see anything specific in the last few days that you've noted?
At the Pergolesi in specific, because that's actually where a lot of them do converge on their way back to school, and they drive by every day almost at the same time. Obviously, it's predictable.
The police are the...
which is fine, but I just feel like they actually harass them. I watch them tell the kids, hey, get out, you're not supposed to be here, which is fine, but...
Pergolesi?
Yeah, but this is the way they word it. They're wording. They're not... The
kids be at the Pergolesi?
Well, I mean, they're just telling them they've been on the street, that area, too long, which is fine, once again, but they don't tell them...
No matter where, there's a time limit about being on the street.
There isn't, really, but you know what I mean. They tell them that they should move along now. There's too many of them or whatever. They're blocking traffic or whatever the problem is. You know, they come up with a
taking up space. They're taking up space.
Taking up space. That's what it seems like.
Taking up too much space.
True.
Breathing the air. Are they paid for that air? No.
Yeah, I mean, they live live theoretically on the street when they're playing, because they're out there. There's not a lot of other places in between. Just, you know, in between lunch at school, they're going to do that. And they act almost as if they're not even supposed to be there, which is kind of ridiculous.
Thank you.
Ryan, we're talking with... I was waiting in line for the bathroom.
Right.
And next thing I know, this dude comes hot riding around the corner on his bicycle. He's all...
Right.
And then it's like there's this lady, and it was like... Blah, blah, blah. And the stuff started flying, and next thing I know, guy's punching me, and I'm like, so then the cops show up, and I'm like, ah. And then dude's like, he did that, and I'm like, you're gonna show up and start some shit, and then she's like, oh, no.
Awesome. Thank you, man. Sorry it happened to you. We're talking with...
Anonymous.
Anonymous. Anonymous, anything happened to you today that you wish to pass on to the masses?
Yes, a friend of mine was on the street, Pacific Avenue, earlier today, and was harassed by the police yet again because she was on the avenue for over an hour in the same location, and she actually got a ticket.
Now, what was she doing on the avenue?
She was playing music.
So she had a display device for more than an hour on the avenue. Was she warned that she was there for more than an hour before they gave a ticket and asked her to move?
I have no idea.
You got the report.
Correct.
Okay. I understand you're an occasional cop watcher.
Yes, correct, I am.
And
I would love to have
camera
some,
or possibly
yes,
a video camera. A recorder.
Yes, anything of the sort.
You talked to Toby. I know Toby is interested in the same issue.
Yeah.
Instead of just telling him to move,
talking with
Joe.
And Joe, you say they've been arrested down near the wharf?
Yeah, man, tons. Like, they don't tell you to move anymore. They just straight up arrest you.
For what crime?
You know, different crimes. Like, they'll search people and find drugs on them, or maybe warrants, or I don't know. Different people, different things.
Are you saying the stuff you've observed or experienced, or stuff you've been told about?
I observed it. They arrested like 10 people in the last 2 days instead of just telling them to move.
And, wow, this was about what, nighttime, daytime arrest?
Nighttime.
How close were you to these arrests?
Pretty close. Not being able to see it, like, from me, maybe 100 feet.
And why didn't they arrest you?
I don't know.
Very suspicious.
I wasn't doing anything wrong, I guess.
Were they doing something wrong?
Trying to sleep.
Not sleeping in Santa Cruz can be illegal.
I know. Don't sleep. Don't shut your eyes.
We've been talking with
Joe.
Thank you, Joe. Any reports?
My monetary situation is less than good right now.
A bite to eat.
A bite to eat. Excellent.
What's your name?
Steven.
Steven, are you a regular eater in this line?
I get it on occasion. I'd say twice a month, maybe. And it's great service. And it's much appreciated.
Fair enough. Thank you, man.
You're welcome.
Do that again. I'm sorry.
The MH Can Center for the NAMI therapy, you know, the family and peer teacher therapy, and then there's peer of the families, the promises from the AA fellowship, and the other program is sort mail, and it's all, I think it's all bulk. Yeah, I'd rather not sort.
No problem. We've been talking with
Dallas.
Thank you, man. It's cold out.
There's a variety of programs, I think, provided by MH Can, which is for people with emotional stress and problems. Still in the studio with me is Uncle Bill, who's patiently been waiting for all these interviews to go past. Any thoughts, Bill, before we continue?
Interesting world we live in. I didn't notice it quite the way that I've been noticing it since I've been on the streets.
Yeah, everybody has a different set of eyes, so there you go.
Can you vouch for that?
Yes, it's like 30-something degrees at night, it seems like.
But it's still illegal to sleep. See, that's why it's illegal. They're afraid you might freeze, so therefore they're doing it for your own benefit.
Watching, yeah, they're looking out for you.
I have a gray sleeping bag and a white goose feather blanket that was taken from the laundromat right there next to the taqueria. So if you see that combination, a dark gray sleeping bag and a white goose feather blanket.
Contact.
Contact Willie Madison.
Okay, Willie, call 423-4833, and I don't know, Willie, if I see you again, I'll tell you. Don't hold your breath.
I just don't have a phone number, so.
I understand.
Right.
Ruin a guitar on the loose.
What do you mean?
A bunch of my friends and I are cramming in a car, 8 of us with all of our packs in a 5-person car, and we left our didgeridoo and guitar on the street one night, and it's gone. Shit happens.
Hopefully, music will come from somewhere in the future.
Yeah, we got stuff to work with. It'll manifest.
Fair enough. We've been talking with
Patrick.
Thank you, man.
Yeah.
You've been hassled by the police?
Yes.
Recently?
No.
And where are you from?
Santa Cruz.
And what is your name?
Ocean.
And when you sleep outside at night, are you feel comfortable doing it? Is it a difficult situation for you? Are you sleeping outside?
I am sleeping outside, and I feel more comfortable sleeping outside in the wilderness than I do in the city. And I do feel comfortable because I feel like I'm protected.
Fair enough. Anything you want to add?
I just hope that everyone out there in the world learns to enjoy life.
Thank you. We've been talking with
Ocean Billings.
Thank you. Say that again.
The cops need to get a new job around here.
And why do you say that, sir?
Spend most of their days harassing all us homeless folk.
And you have experienced that yourself?
Oh, yes, sir. I just got out of jail 2 days ago for something I didn't even do.
What were you jailed for?
I was jailed for possession of a drug I wasn't even consumed.
Indeed. And how long did you spend in jail?
Oh, only 2 days, but that was 2 days of my life.
Indeed. Did you learn anything in your jailhouse experience?
Getting out. That was it.
More fun outside than inside.
For sure, always.
And we've been talking with...
Huh?
Your name again?
Oh, my name's Cruz.
Thank you, man. Do you find the line exciting?
The line, yes.
And what's your...
And the dinner area.
Well, the dinner is... And food is always a good thing, or often a good thing.
And people socializing with each other in, like, the vibrations in the room are really good.
And your name is?
Alex Peplinski.
And Alex, are you new here?
Yes.
Where are you from?
Michigan.
And you just came in the latest boat, or what happened?
I've been here for a month. But then I got robbed, so now I'm looking for a place to stay, and thankfully there's warm food here and maybe a place to stay here. I don't know. We'll see.
Welcome to Santa Cruz.
Thank you.
Thanks, Alex.
It's cold in hell out there.
And what's been happening to you out there?
Nothing good.
So give me an example.
Well, unemployment's cut off. I got to go into the hospital for a surgery. And I don't know where I'm going to go and what I'm going to do in this cold weather. How's that grab you?
I'm glad it's not happened to me.
Old.
I hear you, man. I got surgery, too. I'm 65, but I'm indoors. So I'm okay.
I'm outdoors. I'm in a tent, and I'm OG. Nobody knows me, you know, because I'm brand new to the streets. You know, I ran security for the homeless shelter for 2.5 years. That's why, you know, everybody knows me, but nobody knows me as being, you know, on the streets. I was homeless, but I had a garage that I could live in at the time, so
I wish you luck. And we've been talking with
me. Just call me Tim.
Hey Tim. Let's hear about this.
That could be.
So we have a man who notices the cold. What's your name?
Peter.
And you are?
Brianna.
You're another Brianna. You're the second or third Brianna that's been around here.
Really?
Yeah, so you two are outside camping? Or?
Yeah.
And how long have you been camping?
It's been a week now. Well, we've been traveling for 2 months now.
And how do you find Santa Cruz?
Just traveling down the coast. Keep me going down the one.
Any hassles?
No, not at all.
A lot of peace, a lot of love.
A lot of beautiful people. Welcome and travel well.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
So, Baltimore, anything happening on the street you want to talk about?
Not too much about nothing, man. I'm getting locked up again, man, for some stupid-ass fines I ain't paid back in 1999.
Wow, what are the fines for?
Drunk in public, man, but now they're coming down on us and putting warrants, and I got $3,000 a month in medical, so they take me in and they throw me out after 9 hours because they don't want to pay my medical. And I'm not paying the fines because I'm on disability and I'm a vet. Happy Veterans Day.
And the same to you, Mr. Ignored Veteran, or should we say abused veteran?
Yeah, you can say whatever you want. I know what I did, and I've done. My tours are done. I did too.
You aren't being treated properly.
I want to be treated like a normal human being.
That'll be good.
I might be disabled, but I ain't stupid.
True. You don't sound
I go
stupid.
To court December 5th at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Which court?
I'm going right there to Santa Cruz.
When are they going to start putting camps up for us, the way they're acting?
When hell freezes over, perhaps?
No, I don't mean nice camps.
Right. I understand.
You know what I mean?
Are you talking about a concentration camp?
Yeah, because they're already knocking people, destroying people's tents on days when the night's going to be cold enough to kill you. So what's that saying?
Exactly. We've been talking with...
I'm not saying.
Fair enough. Good luck. Have a good meal, man. Say that again?
Cops harassing us.
What kind of harassment are you facing?
I'm not allowed to be anywhere.
And has this happened to you recently?
Yep, several times.
Most recent time was?
Nighttime and when it's raining.
Thank you. We've been talking with?
Tina.
Thanks, Tina. Darrell, any reports from the street? Any hassles?
Trying to get permission from HSC to have a five-day-a-week meditation thing, but somehow meditating every day, I guess, isn't consistent with their abnormal way of looking at human beings and the potential of human beings.
Well, eating is good, too. Enjoy your meal.
Well,
we have a street report from?
Colin Campbell Clyde.
What do you got?
Hey, I've been talking to a lot of people down at the beach. It seems like the police raids have been pretty intense and ongoing and pretty heavy. It seems like they're using sleep deprivation as a tactic. They'll wake people up. At one point in time during the night, tell them they have to move on, and then they'll get woken up there until they have to move on, and get woken up in the next place until they have to move on every few hours or so. People are going through the night without being able to get a good night's sleep. There's some speculation amongst people I've had conversations that I'm with that this is actually providing an incentive for people to use crystal methamphetamine since they're not being allowed to sleep in the first place.
Thank you. And you do a regular show, which can be found at?
Oh, at the Fun City Store, which is across the street from the bus station and on Front Street. And you can also look for it on YouTube if you search for Magic Box Santa Cruz. The show is called The Magic Box. Search for Magic Box Santa Cruz, and it'll come right up. We got some great Halloween footage that's actually been getting a lot of views. People watch it all over the world. It's a lot of fun. Get a hold of us and come on the show if you have something interesting to talk about. You'd like to get out there and get publicized.
Thank you.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you.
Thank you, Colin.
We're talking with.
That's right. My name is Judy Malam. The last 2 weeks, me and my boyfriend have lost everything. Somebody, a homeless person, took my buggy.
And the Niners had a tie last.
And then, fashion, we were staying through everything else. But
where did this happen?
Up on West Cliff.
And how did this happen?
I have no idea.
Right.
All I know is that my ex seen my buggy going down by the shelter, and he thought it was me, and when I went back to camp that night, it was gone.
This is sort of an ex who took your stuff?
Yeah.
Fair enough. And we've been talking with?
Judy Malone.
Thanks, Judy. Sorry to hear of it. Well, we're out here in front of the Red Church after the meal. We have a woman sitting on, is this a skateboard you're sitting on? I think so. And drinking a little coffee, and you got a plate of spaghetti there. You say life has been hell.
Yeah, constant harassment. Basically, it's against the law to be homeless. You're not allowed to sleep. You're not allowed to sit. You're not allowed to be anywhere. They tell you everywhere you can't be, but they won't tell you where you can be.
And has this happened to you today?
Not today. I hid out today, but every other day.
And the last time it happened to you, describe what went down.
I have it all written down. I'll have to look at it. There's been so many different things.
Fair enough. And we've been talking with?
Heather.
Thanks, Heather.
Wait.
They took your phone, Bear, for videotaping last night?
Yeah, but not on record right now.
So you were apparently misadvised by the police that City Council was meeting last Tuesday, which would be the 5th, no, the 4th, this would be the 6th. This tomorrow actually is the meeting on the 13th. You were told it was at 7 o'clock, and in fact, what happened?
We were told the meeting was at 7 o'clock, and while we intended to go to the meeting, we were down at Depot Park putting our cart together after the police illegally searched our belongings without us being there.
Did they take anything?
Not that I'm aware of.
And were you able to maintain that place to stay, or did the police come at you later?
No, it wasn't a place. It was just in a park. We were trying to get our stuff minimalized so we could move and try to find us a place that we could stay at, and they're not allowing. We've been told there is no camping in Santa Cruz. You're not allowed to be on the beach after dark. The beach now has hours. The beach closes in Santa Cruz.
And so does the park.
Yes.
And so does the levee.
Yes.
And so does City Hall and the police station and the library.
Yes.
And the library grounds.
Yes.
And the courthouse and the county building.
Yes.
You're not allowed to be under the bridge.
Say again?
You're not allowed to be under the bridge or the trestle or any other. You can't have any other type of cover or shelter in the rain. They won't let you be under any of the bridges or overhangs or anything else.
We call it population control.
Thank you, Heather.
Discrimination.
Oh, shit. And the guy we were just talking to, his name?
Blaze.
Blaze. And Blaze, we just heard from. Blaze, you're thinking of going to City Hall tomorrow on the 13th? Tuesday the 13th?
Yes, I will be there.
At what time?
5 o'clock.
Very good. 5 o'clock. Who knows? Maybe I'll show up too. I sometimes do.
Good, good. More the merrier.
It's possible.
And actually, I did show up. Unfortunately, Blaze did not. Although it often seems rather pointless to show up at the little sort of token segregated public comment period that the city council, I should say Don Lane as the mayor, has created. There were only two people speaking to an audience of three or four people. City council has effectively walled off the community from oral communication and oral communicants from the community. It used to be at 7 o'clock right before the main meeting when, you know, one had a significant audience to speak, even if you only had a brief time. A 2-minute or 3-minute period usually was the rule prior to this crackdown on public commenting that essentially is merely an expansion of sort of the prejudice and privilege of city council members who simply decided they don't want to hear, and they're from the community is the way I interpret it. They claim that they're only doing this. There are different rationales. One is that they want to have shorter agendas. They want to have less money being spent on the staff. They think that you can say what you want in 2 minutes, although the city council members take forever to say what they want and go on at great length and have lengthy staff reports. So it's an example of this hierarchical, we have the privileges, you don't, suck it in and take it, buddy. That's how I interpret it. I did speak at City Council, and I'll probably play that speech on Sunday when I come back. My time is up here at the mic, and it's 8:06, and I see no sign of Uncle Dennis or his relief. Often our duck comes in at this time, but I don't hear any quacking outside, so I don't know where this guy is. I'm maybe reduced to putting on one of those old shows from Uncle Dennis, who does the show, 3-hour show after mine usually. Not usually, regularly, called From the Cream to the Dregs. Usually it's a musical show concerned with music from the 60s and 70s. Unfortunately, Uncle Dennis has not made a lot of recent archive material that I can put on, so I'm going to have to flounder around and try to find something that might fill the bill, and it's probably going to be something that you regular listeners have heard before. I I see you're adjusting your mic there, Bill. Is that because you have something you want to say, or are you just being helpful?
Getting ready to say goodnight.
Fair enough. So I think I'll finish.
Thanks
up
for having me.
Yeah, no, thank you for coming in. I'll finish this
surprise,
up.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah, surprise, surprise. What's the surprise?
Being on this show.
Oh, no, not, well, I'm glad, you know, it frequently happens, you know, people come in and talk, and I think it's better than me babbling away all by myself, for sure. Besides, it gives me a chance to abuse somebody, and, you know, here you are.
Well, it's a dream come true.
Indeed. Well, that's a little strong. But I'm going to finish up this this interview, and then I'm going to put on a show from the cream to the dregs, and I will then leave you until Sunday morning at 9:30 when I'll be back, and you can hear more of these interviews. I've got plenty of them, and this quite a number of interviews. This was more than I actually ever got at the Red Church, one after another. I got kind of obsessively going from one person to the next, and probably should have been arranging cop watch and taking very specific complaints about property loss. But if anybody wants to do that, if anybody is interested in helping document police misconduct, property loss, the kind of harassment the street performers are suffering, please get in touch with me at the Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom voicemail, the Huff line, 423-HUFF, 423-HUFF,
423-4833. Yeah, you have my card.
At a park during the day.
Say again?
Not even allowed to sleep at the park during the day.
And what happened there when you tried to do that? What was the last
time? One of my friends was sleeping at the park, and an officer came over and kicked his leg and woke him up and told him it was against the law to be asleep. At the park, during the day.
Is lying, I must say, because I don't think it could really be an honest mistake. I think he is misinforming, and it sounds like an intentional bit of misinformation.
Yeah, and
if true, are you telling me the truth?
I have it written down and signed. I had him write down a statement and sign it.
Well, you'll have either 2 or 3 minutes to speak tomorrow at City Council at 5 o'clock. So practice your speech or get it together. The main people you'll be talking to is not the shitty council, as I call it. It is the community because it's televised. So that's really the thing to do.
Everyone needs to remember that they're only one pink slip and a paycheck away.
Unfortunately, it's become a cliche. Most people will nod and sort of drift off as you say it, but it's true. Equally true as the weather gets colder.
And it's not that we're homeless by choice.
Yeah, I don't want to be this big. I got a 4-year-old and an old lady, and I'm still out in the cold. Hey, we survive.
All right. Thank you, Blaze.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Heather.
Thank you.
And thank you,
Cruz.
Cruz. We're talking with the woman with the violin,
Brianna Brewer.
Brianna, you may be going to City Council tomorrow at 5, possibly.
I have to be at class at 6, at math class, and at Cabrillo at 6, otherwise I would, but...
Sounds like some, yeah.
I have a busy life, you know, I'm a full-time student.
What do you study?
Music.
We're out here on the corner in front of New Leap, but you say that you've been trying to get a harasser into court?
Yeah, I have Officer